The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, October 29th. Kathy's out. I'll be handling the news details. We'll begin with this. A Lehigh Valley mother accused of leaving her baby on a bus is behind bars on Monday night. Police say the woman walked on the bus in Bethlehem over the weekend, handed her infant to the driver, and then turned around and walked away. It happened on Saturday at the bus stop near the intersection of Guter and Broad Streets in Bethlehem. The mother, identified as 26-year-old Ashley Walters of Whitehall, has been arrested and charged. While the bus was stopped, Walters approached the bus with her one-month-old baby boy in hand. Next, she entered the bus, placed him on the fare box, and told the driver to call police and that this was her son and that she can't take care of him. After the mother left the bus, she walked away in tears. Police later found her just a few hundred yards away. The safe haven law in Pennsylvania states that a baby no older than 28 days must be left at a hospital or with a police officer or at a police station. In this particular case, Walters didn't do that, so she was charged with a misdemeanor count of child endangerment.
Huh.
I know. I wonder what the story is there.
Yeah.
It could be pretty heartbreaking. Could be somebody who just does not want to do this and had no other way to do it. But
right. We've heard stories of mothers who have done far worse, like putting a kid in a garbage can or something like that. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder what the proper steps are and what you need to do.
Right.
You know, so but they're obviously going to investigate this and find this out. Armed with questions, residents opened the floor for a candid conversation about Philadelphia policing on Monday night at the Community College of Philadelphia. A town hall was led by Eagle safety Malcolm Jenkins and the Players Coalition, along with rapper Meek Mill, who was recently freed out of legal limbo after more than a 12-year ordeal. Both are making good on their commitment to address the criminal justice system and bring a voice to the residents. The discussion included the firing of more than a dozen officers over the summer for apparent racist and offensive Facebook posts, the resignation of former police commissioner Richard Ross after two female officers filed a lawsuit claiming the department failed to investigate continued sexual harassment. The mayor's office is in the middle of interviewing candidates for the city's next top cop. Officials say what was voiced on Monday's town hall will undoubtedly play a role in who gets hired. Firefighters yesterday fought to gain ground in the fight against a fire that is burning through the heart of California's wine country. But the powerful winds that fueled the flames over the weekend are expected to return today. The so-called Kincaid Fire has already burned through 66,000 acres, wow, an area nearly twice the size of San Francisco. Mm. And in Southern California, more than 1,000 firefighters were to contain a brush fire on the west side of Los Angeles. The Getty Fire gets its name from the Getty Center, the Hilltop Art Museum, and the center was built to be fireproof and earthquake-proof. Yesterday, it was closed to the public but open to firefighters in need of a break. Nick, you're just saying your family members in California are being affected by this.
Yeah, my aunt lives in Pacific Palisades, and she has currently been evacuated from her home. She hasn't been allowed to return. My cousins live not too far from her. They were allowed to return to their homes, but the fear for them was more smoke damage and smoke inhalation.
Yeah.
For my Aunt Susan, it's fires, and so that it'd be, you know, damage or destroying of her home.
They say this Getty Center has absolutely every possible way to firefight you could have in a building. Like, it has its own reservoir reserves.
Oh, wow.
It has, yeah, the way even the stone is made is meant to stop, because it's a multi-billion dollar facility.
It's a really impressive place, too. Yeah. It's a massive compound.
And some of the celebs are having to flee there as it's getting near Brentwood, apparently.
Yeah.
And so Schwarzenegger has had to evacuate, and a few others.
LeBron James as well.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. So that does continue to be a threat. And then finally, this is kind of about sports, and we'll get to official sports in a moment, but three women behind home plate are getting widespread attention after they flashed Houston Astros pitcher Garrett Cole during Game 5 of the World Series on Sunday night in Washington, D.C. The incident happened during the bottom of the seventh inning in the Nationals Park when the Nats' Ryan Zimmerman was at bat. Julia Rose said that she and a second woman were banned by Major League Baseball for the incident. They are banned from all ballparks for life.
Wow.
He shared a photo of what appeared to be a letter from David L. Thomas, vice president of security and ballpark operations at MLB. Though the incident seemed to distract some fans, it didn't throw Gerrit Cole off or the rest of the Astros. They won 7-1 and are now just one game away from capturing their second World Series title in just 3 years. Now, I didn't get a chance to read or see this, but I saw a video. Yes. I was having so many issues with my computer this morning, I didn't have time to watch it, but apparently they were claiming breast cancer awareness.
They threw in breast cancer awareness.
You know, and it makes sense because they were wearing yellow shirts.
Right, yellow shirts for breast cancer awareness.
Since pink is the color of breast cancer awareness, yes.
I'll tell you this, though. They're three Instagram models, and they are the kind of people who should occasionally pop their tops off.
Yeah.
So often the people that do this are not the people you'd want to do this. But, so they pick breast cancer awareness.
And there you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to sports this morning. Well, the Sixers came back to beat the Hawks last night in Atlanta, winning 105-103. Joel Embiid scored 36 points, including the winning free throws, with 5.3 seconds left. And the Sixers won their third straight to start their season 3-0, and they are now the last unbeaten team in the Eastern Conference. Embiid made 12 of 19 shots from the field and all 10 of his free throws. And he also had 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. Sixers are back home tomorrow night with a game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. In Monday Night Football, the Miami Dolphins lost their 7th straight game, falling to the Steelers by a score of 27-14 in Pittsburgh. The Dolphins were actually winning by 2 touchdowns, but the Steelers eventually came back to win the game and send the Dolphins to 0-7 on the season. And the Flyers are on the road tonight with a game against the Penguins in Pittsburgh. Puck drops at 7 p.m. And that is what I have for you in news this morning. Long weekend for us. A little extra day off. So here we are with the short week, which means that's easy for you as far as the Word of the Week prize goes. You only need 4 letters. And we have a $500 Steven Singer Jewelers gift card. So we would love to give that to you. It'd be awesome. I was there yesterday, actually.
Oh, you were? Oh, yes.
My wife and I went by there yesterday, so yeah.
I get a little mad when you come in the city and don't call me.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Just saying.
She's just saying. We're airing our grievances this morning. I'm sorry, Miss. I thought about it, but you're so damn busy all the time. You're always doing something.
You're also sick.
I sat on my couch all weekend.
What's wrong with you?
I just got to have this cold.
Yeah, that sucks.
All weekend.
Oh, for you to stay inside.
I know.
Oh, that must be the worst.
It was pretty rough.
You have to look around your apartment.
All right, we do have some things planned for today as far as guests go in our studio this morning. Steve-O is coming by.
Yeah.
He's going to be at Helium on Friday and Saturday. The shows are sold out. Is he just in town early?
He's just kind of, okay. He's got a show on Thursday that's not sold out yet, but all the weekend shows are sold out.
Okay, so cool. Steve-O stops in. Always great conversation with him. He'll be in the 8 o'clock hour. And we also have author Gavin Edwards. He is the man who wrote the book Kindness and Wonder, Why Mr. Rogers Matters Now More Than Ever. And, of course, the movie's coming out with Tom Hanks.
So, we're going to have a massive influx of Mr. Rogers love. And this book actually is a little bit biography, Preston, and also uses anecdotal stories to inspire you to live a better Mr. Rogers life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Every time the trailer comes on, I sit there and I get all...
Makes you cry.
I get all weepy.
If I don't know the actual plotting of the Mr. Rogers movie, but I have to assume that his appearance in front of the Senate would have to be one of the pivotal moments in the movie, which it kills you every time.
Do you think they'll use any actual real war footage of him as a sniper?
I think so, the sniper stuff, because you can't tell. It's from so far away.
I know.
Most of the stuff is of heads exploding. So.
Right, and who doesn't want to see that?
He was unbelievable, though. 2 miles in a heavy wind.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a guy in Laos one time.
Two guys.
Thinking of Riggs. I think it was Riggs that did
that. Oh, that was it. Yeah, 1,000 yards out, high wind. Yeah, only 100 guys could have made that shot.
Yep.
All right, anyhow, so we're going to talk to Gavin Edwards this morning. Our friends from Jersey Mike's are stopping by for a meet and eat. That means we'll have some stuff to
He had this interesting tattoo on his
arm. Yeah, it was a Special Forces tattoo, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it's going to get
Skull with a knife.
Yeah.
Some kids told him.
Yeah.
All right, anyhow, these things and more we're going to get into today. We got stuff to give away. In fact, we have a movie screening tonight, Terminator Dark Fate. That is tonight, right?
It is tonight. Yep. So we'll tonight.
Have your chance to win those. Make sure you stay with us. We're going to break and come back in a second, get some entertainment stories, if you don't mind. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so our stupid question this morning, prize we have is a family four-pack of tickets for the worst-case scenario survival experience, which is now open at the Franklin Institute. And this is actually a survival question that I have for you. What kinds of birds were typically used to alert coal miners to the presence of noxious gases? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. What kinds of birds were typically used to alert coal miners to the presence of noxious gases? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. Today is Thursday, October 29th, and birthdays to run by include Richard Dreyfuss. There you go. What about Bob? Yeah. Of course, he's a man that's pushed to his absolute limit.
The
house guest that will not leave.
And it actually, in a bizarre way, makes it even better to know that they didn't like each other because he doesn't like him in the movie.
Yep.
And so now you look for extra things to see. I bet you he really meant that when he did it. Yeah.
Yep. And just watching him slowly, step by step, unravel.
The slow burn.
To eventually he is a raving lunatic.
Well, and remember, this is his patient. He's been charged with helping this man get on with his life. And for every step that this man makes towards an actual more fulfilling life, it drives his doctor more crazy.
I haven't seen it in so long, but I think like the end, isn't there like he has dynamite or something ridiculous like that?
It holds up. I watch it with my
son. Does it?
It's still really, really funny, yeah.
I was disappointed when I went on my Lake Winnipesaukee trip to find out that the film was not actually made, and it was made in Virginia,
always
not
make
New Hampshire.
Sure. Yeah. Always make sure if you want the actual lake. So.
And I'm a sucker for Mr. Holland's Opus being a band geek and a lot of great movies over the years, American Graffiti and so on.
Yeah.
There you go. Is he's saying get out of the car?
Yes.
That's what he's saying?
Yes.
He's trying to say get out of the car. All right, he's 72 today. Kate Jackson from Charlie's Angels.
The smart one.
Celebrates her 71st birthday today.
It was with one fell swoop, you totally diminish the other two, and you insult her in the same way. That always just... Kate's character is the smart one.
She was also on Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Yeah.
Winona Ryder has her birthday today. Winona is 48 years old.
Stranger Things revitalized her career.
Yeah, it's funny because every now and then an older movie that she is in will be on and my kids will go, oh! Someone from Stranger Things.
Have they seen like Reality Bites is all over the place? They show it all the time.
Yeah, it was on not long ago. Yeah. My kids haven't watched it, but it wouldn't be in their wheelhouse. But I sat down for a few minutes. Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's dated
in a fun way. Edward Scissorhands and all that. Beetlejuice was on again, obviously for Halloween.
Yeah. Remember Crazy Winona Ryder from the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
That like came and went very quickly.
Yeah. Well, she explained that she couldn't hear what he was saying, I guess, because of the... So she was just kind of jokingly reacting, or she's flat out insane.
Hard to tell. You know what? And there was a movie on with her not too long ago that I never really saw from beginning to end, but I did like the concept. It was The Dilemma.
With a cheating friend?
Yeah. It was Vince Vaughn and
is it Kevin James?
Kevin James. Yeah. And his, finds out that his best friend's wife is cheating on him.
Right.
Does he say anything or not? It's... I need to watch that whole thing. Anyhow, she's 48 today. Gabrielle Union.
Oh, yeah.
From, of course, Bring It On.
They just had a picture of her. I don't know what it was for, but in her original Bring It On cheerleading costume.
Was it for Halloween, Steve?
And might have been.
I think she took out her daughter as one of the cheerleaders, It was adorable. Also kind of hot.
Yeah.
Because she's such a knockout.
She looks great.
But, you know, it's like this cute family photo, and you're like, oh,
that's great. Daddy's got to go in the bathroom.
Also, she's all that. 10 Things I Hate About You, Bad Boys 2. She's 47 today. The great Dan Castellaneta.
God wants us to do it.
The voice of Homer Simpson.
It sucks.
And Grandpa Simpson.
What the hell are you talking about?
And Krusty the Clown.
Damn you, Walt Whitman!
And Barney and Groundskeeper Willie and Mayor Quimby, Sideshow Mel. Yeah, he's...
I am the champion.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
I am the champion. No time for losers, because I am the champion of the world.
Again, I say you... I believe a Homer Simpson exists.
Yeah, he's real.
He's been so fully realized over decades.
Yep. Yeah.
And in a way, I'm almost disappointed when I see Dan Castellaneta because it's like it undermines my belief that Homer Simpson exists.
Mm. He's 62 today. Randy Jackson's birthday today.
There you go.
And not the Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Yeah, I have his autograph on a sword.
Member of the Jacksons.
Yes.
Yeah. Randy Jackson is 64 and years old today.
Is he the oldest of the...
That was Jackie Jackson.
Jackie Jackson, okay. Yeah.
Not to be mistaken with Randy Watson, who was in the What's Going Down episode of...
That's My Mama. That's correct, yes. Randy Watson. He's the lead singer of Sexual Chocolate. Randy Jackson is 64 today. Denny Lane, former singer and guitarist and founding member of the Moody Blues, and also he was the right-hand guy in Paul McCartney and Wings.
Oh.
So if you ever saw a picture if you ever saw a picture of Paul and Linda and another guy,
it was
Denny Lane.
That guy had long blonde hair?
No, he had dark hair.
Did he have dark hair?
Yeah, he had dark hair. But very talented musician.
Right.
Denny Lane is 75 years old today. Actor Ben Foster...
I like him.
Yeah, I do.
He's great.
Yeah. First Preston. Popped up in X-Men, yes.
Yeah. Please watch Hell or High Water for Steve, just for his sake.
You'll get to it when you get to it. I contend, though, again, that's one of those, they only come along in a rare while, you know, and his Ben Foster's performance, Chris Pine's performance, and Bridges' performance are just amazing.
It's on Netflix now. You can do it.
Okay.
Is it? So we had him in...
Don't do it while you're exercising. It's not an exercise
movie.
It's a sit and let breathe.
Yeah.
There's so much that happens that isn't said.
Okay.
It starts off really good, right? So, like, the first 10 minutes are solid.
All right.
Maybe pour a little bourbon into a glass and some ice on a Friday night when you got some time.
You can do that. Yeah. All right. Ben Foster's 39. And then the last birthday I saw is Tracy Ellis Ross. She is from the TV show Blackish and is 47 years
Daughter
old.
Daughter of Diana Ross.
Is she
really?
She is. I was not aware of that. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Well, happy birthday to you, Tracy Ellis Ross. All right, we'll see if we can find an answer to this stupid question. What kind of birds were typically used to alert coal miners to the presence of noxious gases, specifically carbon monoxide? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I'm going to go to, it says Emmerich here, or Emmerich. Is this, hi, what's your name?
Eric.
Eric. It's Eric. Okay. I had a feeling it might be.
Just checking. Okay.
All right. Do me a favor.
I think he said, I'm Eric.
There we go. That could be it. I'm Eric.
All right, I'm Eric.
Emmerich, how are you?
What type of bird was typically used to alert coal miners of the presence of noxious gases?
The canary.
Yeah, canary in a coal mine. Hang on, Eric. I'm Eric.
It's like off Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph. Yes, exactly, from Handmaid's Tale.
I learned that from The Simpsons with the canary.
Did you really?
Yeah, they had an episode where there was a fake kid. Sorry, spoiler alert. There was a fake kid stuck in a coal mine, and Sting came, and then there was a canary.
The canary in a coal mine.
Yeah, I never knew it until that episode.
There you go.
That's a song from The Police, Canary in a Coal Mine. Great tune. All right, so Eric, hang on the line. I'm Eric. of Eric. We're going to give you a family four-pack of tickets for the worst-case scenario survival experience now open at the Franklin Institute. And to order tickets, you can visit fi.edu. All right. Dancing with the Stars update. It was on last night.
Oh, I watched it.
They had their Halloween party with tricks and treats and another shocking elimination. The pairs first hit the dance floor for individual dances. Then they were split into Team Trick and Team Treat to compete against each other.
I tell you what, they packed that show with so much crap. And you know, obviously the stuff you want to see is the competitive dancing. That's the whole thing. But they surround it with all these little stories and things. But it was pretty good, I have to say.
So Team Treat is where our buddy Kate Flannery appeared. And they came in second place, though, scored 24 out of 30 versus Team Trick, which had 27 out of 30. But Kate was not eliminated. She stays on board. And they did. Who did they get rid of? It was
Spicer.
Was he? He was eliminated?
Yeah, he was. So it was Kate and Sean were the last two, and Kate got the enough of a fan vote to stick around.
So when you're talking about...
That's not what it says here.
What does it say there?
Read it wrong?
It says they're still in the running for the coveted Mirrorball Trophy. Our Bachelorette alum Hannah Brown, country music singer Lauren Elena, actor James Vanderbeek, The Office alum Kate Flannery, singer Allie Brooke, actor Kel Mitchell, and former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
Huh. So then who got voted off? I didn't see the absolute end. I saw the
flip your page, Press. This thing right here says eliminated...
Oh, yeah. Karamo Brown.
Oh,
really?
That's kind of a surprise.
Oh. Yes. Karamo Brown. Who is Karamo Brown?
He's I guess he's one of is he one of the Queer Eye guys?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
There are several people, as closely as I'm following this, there are several people still who I have no idea.
So they gave him pretty good ratings. I thought he was in a three-way tie with some people. Mm. Who knows?
He was eliminated.
I just focus on Kate. But
Kate
I think
still
he's
there.
He's one of the Queer Eye guys, right?
I believe so.
Yep. So we're happy. Kate is still kicking ass. We should probably talk to her soon.
She did a good job. She they did sort of, I guess it's a bossa nova, sort of sultry. Kate was in a red... a dress, and they were commenting how sexified she was. You know, though, every time they go to the judges, it's the same nonsense. It's the same, you know, the same stuff. I mean, there's only so many ways you can critique dancing.
Right, right. Well, they get more detailed in their critiques as the...
It's about the posture. You've got to be like a rigid rod standing there, shouting to the world, I'm here, I dominate, I command.
As the show.
Shut up!
Yeah, so, well, that's what they got to do, so... Hey, shortly after taking to social media to discuss his hard-won sobriety, Ben Affleck was photographed stumbling on his way to a UNICEF masquerade ball.
And it was not good.
Later, he was photographed at a casino with a female friend around 1 a.m. After sitting at a poker table with her for a few minutes, they left shortly after. Many assume the troubled star, who has been in and out of rehab multiple times, was hitting the bottle again. And he told TMZ on Sunday when asked about the previous night's party, he said, it happens. It was a slip, but I'm not going to let it derail me. So
he's positive. Yeah.
He's owned up to it. He did not respond when asked if he'd returned to rehab or not. On Sunday, he was also photographed with his ex-wife, Jennifer Garner. She, of course, drove him to rehab last time. And their three children were with her and him, the Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. So a source said you could tell that it wasn't an easy thing for him, but Ben owned his mistake. He looked tired. Sources added of his appearance at Garner's house. Meanwhile, Garner is standing by Ben, and Insider tells Us Weekly she's upset, but always supportive.
She released a statement, Preston.
Really jamming it down there.
Wait, no, wrong one.
That's like
wrong. Give me 2 seconds. I will have that statement, and it's coming up, and here we go.
I'd like to apologize to Jennifer Garner and her pool boy, Ben Affleck, for incorporating them into my fantasy life.
He was wearing like a skull mask when he was coming out of this party, and he actually fell back against an SUV. Yeah,
whoops.
So we have a picture of it up in the studio.
The outlet adds that Affleck's sober coach has reached out, and they've met. And Nick just pulled up a story that he might be dating somebody, Nick?
Yeah, I don't know who she is. Excuse me, Katy Cherry. She's a musician, and that's on ET is reporting this.
Okay.
Are you dating Katy Cherry?
Yeah.
Sure look drunk.
It says here that they met on the exclusive dating site Raya.
We were talking about there you go,
last week. While a source tells ET that Affleck is not dating anyone seriously right now, the pair has been photographed together multiple times. And ET has reached out to his rep for
comment. Listen, Ben, it's ET. Call me back.
Slide into his DMs.
I'm sliding into your DMs. Yeah. I'm worried about you, bro dozer.
You guys want to know 5 fun facts about Katy Perry?
The best fact you can find.
The best one?
Yeah, come on, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
5 of them, huh?
Tara Reid said she was her best friend.
Okay. Oh, that's the best. What caliber celeb we're talking about here.
Maybe she's a heavy drinker because Tara Reid. I don't know. Tara Reid,
heavy drinker as well, yeah. And was, I guess, sort of beat it. That's why she's in Sharknado now, successful movie career. But the truth of the matter is that... you know, Ben was very candid about the fact that he slipped to TMZ. I was watching the video, and he said, no, that's it. I made a mistake.
Yeah, it's got to suck. You know, that's a very personal thing.
Yes, it is.
And if you're really working on it and then it comes out into the public, it's got to be like, come on, man.
Well, he went to a party, though. I mean,
it's not
a personal thing if, you know.
No,
he was in his house, you know, but, like, no, he went out, like, and he was drinking in public with, you know. I listen.
Now, he was being driven around. He wasn't driving, so that was good.
But sure.
The truth of the matter is still, he went through this whole process to get clean. It was a slip, and it's sad. So yeah. He gets back on the horse. But, I mean, he has had ongoing issues for years and mm-hmm. gambling issues.
Yeah, that
so
too.
So his two demons in one night.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do one.
Do the other.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Samantha Markle may have been booted from Twitter in August, but Meghan Markle's half-sister is still making headlines for beating the drum against her royal relative. Now, Florida police are reportedly investigating her following multiple complaints of her cyberbullying of Meghan and Prince Harry.
She's cyberbullying the royals there?
Yeah. So, Polk County Sheriff Department Office said there have been multiple reports of allegations of cyberbullying made, and it's a... excuse me, large and widespread investigation.
Now, hey, Polk County, we don't take kind of cyberbullying.
It's likely to be a long process. They also added Samantha
Now,
Markle.
You leave them royals there alone now. Just you just sit in that chair. You never... it's a wheelchair? I'm sorry.
Samantha Markle is aware of this allegation. She has not been arrested. This is an ongoing case, and I cannot speculate on a timeline yet or make any other comment.
Huh.
According to the Daily Mail, Canada, Sweden, and the UK have filed complaints as well.
At what point is Meghan Markle going to send MI6 forward
yeah.
to kill them all?
Let's finish this.
What were they doing in a blimp?
Mm-hmm. All of this comes after Meghan and Harry have been opening up about the pressures they feel and criticism they receive. And Harry has filed suit against tabloids for their unfair treatment of Meghan. And she recently told Tom Bradby in his documentary, that it's
stinky.
It's overwhelming. Oh. It's a very real thing to be going on behind the scenes. So they're having an issue with it.
I don't see any patching up. I don't see any getting back together, any reconciliation. I don't see the Markles coming into London for vittles with the royal family.
Mm-hmm. Nope, I agree. No vittles.
I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Yep. Jared Padalecki was reportedly arrested in his native Austin, Texas, early Sunday morning on 2 counts of assault and 1 count of public intoxication.
This is bad.
The Supernatural star was taken into custody outside of Stereotype Bar, a club that he frequents, after allegedly punching a bartender.
I want Supernatural. That's a CW show.
In video, a person believed to be the actor can be seen tussling with an unknown male on the sidewalk. A second clip shows the same individual speaking to officers while leaning on the hood of a vehicle. And in a third clip, an unidentified person is taken into custody by police. This is all supposedly him.
Right.
Padalecki's bond is set at $15,000. It's unclear if he's been bailed out yet.
It's the final season of the show. They're wrapping it up. They could have kept going, but they've been doing it for years and years and years. So he's had a pretty much unblemished career up till now. So this is maybe a misstep. Maybe he gets past it. It should be fine.
Padalecki had promoted and attended the bar's grand opening in 2018, sharing a flyer via his official Instagram account. So he's
probably an owner.
He's part of this. Yeah. The club's Facebook page describes itself as a music-centric concept featuring rotating DJs. Including dedicated vinyl DJ sets, video DJ sets, and live music. Stereotype blends sophistication with retro and 90s flair to create an infinitely entertaining and approachable bacchanal scene. Okay.
Bacchanalia, like a big festival party.
Guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Go. Well, I'm
Stop
sold.
By Stereotype.
I'm heading by.
Watch Padalecki punch the bartender in the face.
Every night, a cast member of Supernatural will assault one of our workers.
This is so Badalocal.
Oh.
Stereo, like music.
Yeah, like, you get it?
I get it.
Oh,
now.
There's a whole. This is an onion with many layers.
I made up a word, Badalocal. I put it together with Padalecki. And bacchanal.
That's what they should have called the
bacchanal.
Bar.
Yeah. Bacchanal. Badalocal. Yeah.
Badalocal.
Bacchanalia.
Kourtney Kardashian, arguably the most laid back of the Kardashian-Jenner clan, isn't rolling with the punches when it comes to criticism of her kids. After she shared pics of her family and their weekend in Santa Ynez, a follower took to issue with her son Rain's long hair and had to face her ire. A follower wrote that Kourtney really needed to cut his hair, and the Poosh founder responded by saying,
Almighty.
She really needed to not worry about kids that aren't her own. He's a happy boy.
Snap.
Damn.
Put that bitch down.
So, okay, hang on. Let me ask
you. You want to unpack this, as they say?
These people have millions of followers.
Yeah.
And how many comments do you think that they actually read?
I think they read about a million. They're so egomaniacal. Because how would you find this amongst the sea of responses?
And why would you care? That one in particular to respond to?
So it all comes down to the algorithms. And there's an account called Comments by Celebs, which is actually a really fun Instagram account to follow.
Yeah.
But they follow all the celebs. So when the celebs comment on somebody, random person's comment, it goes up to the top, and so it pops up, it becomes a news story, voila.
No, not that. I'm wondering,
Kourtney herself has,
I would imagine, hundreds of thousands of responses to whatever she may post. Does she sit there and scroll through and read them, or
just waits for the first negative one? You're like, oh.
And just pounce on that one.
Love that farm, love that place, great hair. What is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you deranged?
I mean, or do they just, you know.
You're so hot, you're so rich, I love watching. Oh! They don't like my son's hair?
Like you're saying, are they so egomaniacal that they sit there and scroll, reading all the comments?
Well, they're just like us, Preston.
They are.
I don't read my comments.
It's the best way to get news about a new post.
Okay.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, I guess so.
There were 2,388 comments on this particular post, and at least one negative one.
Poosh.
I'm not going to read through any of the other ones.
A man was apprehended by trying to break into David Schwimmer's house in Manhattan using a brick on Sunday morning.
You mean like smashed to a window?
I guess so.
Or fitted in the lock?
A high-ranking police officer who spoke to reporters explained to them that Eric Rosa was detained by the police and taken to the station. Mr. Rosa was trying to break into the actor's home around 12:30 a.m.
Big
fan of Friends.
Yeah. No official word on why or if he knew if it was David Schwimmer's home or not.
Do you think there's any chance it's that guy who he looked like who robbed that
liquor store?
Mm-hmm. Looking for revenge?
And speaking of Friends, in an appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show Monday, Jennifer Aniston kissed the host and told her, "You have such soft lips."
Ooh, and
DeGeneres replied, "So do you. That's why I do what I do. No razor burn. Soft lips. Now you can add this to your Instagram." She also said that a Friends reboot would not happen, but she said, quote, "We would love for there to be something, but we don't know what that something is. So we're just trying to work on something." But so they're just, you know, entertaining ideas, I guess. Friends ran from 1994 to 2004, became a huge streaming hit recently on Netflix.
So some of the early reviews are in for that, the morning show.
Okay.
The Apple Plus. They're not good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so they committed to two seasons, and we'll see how it plays out. But that's one of the benchmark shows for that startup.
Hey, Steve, can I ask you a quick question? Because there was a little hubbub on Twitter yesterday about...
I like when bubs are hubbub.
Yeah, when Netflix is going to somehow speed things up, and
yes.
I didn't feel like reading the article.
I sent the article to Preston,
okay.
And we might talk about it later.
Oh,
but it involves binging.
Okay.
Yes.
Never mind.
Rachel Weisz is set to star in a special relationship based on the life of Elizabeth Taylor and her transformation from actress to activist. The story will be told from the perspective of her good friend and assistant, Roger Wall. While Taylor is most known for her multiple marriages, her role as an AIDS activist was arguably more central to her true persona. She did get really involved in that,
she
if
was.
You remember.
Very much so.
Audiences are clearly fascinated by the private lives of iconic Hollywood stars, said Canning and Sherman in a statement of the Hollywood Reporter.
She was very much in love with an actor named Montgomery Clift, who was gay. And, I mean, she really loved him and would love to have been with him. But he suffered a lot and became very Rock Hudson as well, for a lot of Hollywood friends of hers. So she started championing the cause early.
The statement said there is no one more iconic than Elizabeth Taylor, and Simon Beaufoy has written a role that shines a light on Elizabeth's humor and humanity, which will be beautifully brought to life through the extraordinary talents of Rachel Weisz. And it's at its heart, a special relationship is a story of friendship, and what better way to guarantee that translates to the screen than trusting and directing talents of real-life best friends and creative collaborators Bert and Bertie.
I'm a little worried, though, about the casting of Terry Crews as Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that's probably not going to work.
I think
he's a good actor.
Yeah. He's great. He's very entertaining.
Basically, I think you're going to be distracted.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Troop Zero dazzled audiences at Sundance, and like that film, A Special Relationship is a collaboration of how friendships can change people's lives and how Elizabeth helped change the world, they say.
So yeah, Michael Jackson.
What they're going after.
It makes his pecs do the thing.
Nick sent this story over to me. Things are apparently a bit turbulent right now in a galaxy far, far away. Hot off the heels of a brand new trailer from The Mandalorian. Deadline dropped the news that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the showrunner duo who brought Game of Thrones to HBO, have exited their deal with Disney and Lucasfilm to create a Star Wars trilogy all their own. Until now, the first entry in Benioff and Weiss's three-movie saga was set to hit theaters in 2022. The pair released a statement saying, we love Star Wars. When George Lucas built it, he built us too. Getting to talk about Star Wars with him and the current Star Wars team was the thrill of a lifetime, and we will always be indebted to the saga that changed everything. There are only so many hours in the day, and we felt we could not do justice to both Star Wars and our Netflix project, so we are regretfully stepping away.
Would this have been separate from the Rian Johnson trilogy?
Yes.
So, again, I think they need to tap the brakes on flooding the market with too much Star Wars stuff, you know?
I agree, yeah.
If these guys are friends with Rob McElhenney, or he's friends with them, and when we had him on last time, we were chatting with him about their project, their impending project, and he's like, Why would they want to do this? Now they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with a little bit overkill. When the Solo came out, I was like, I really didn't feel like seeing it.
And that had a replacement director on it, too, that Ron Howard ended up finishing that movie, and it was because of turmoil behind the scenes.
But I was kind of Star Wars'd out. I was like, okay, I agree. I need a little break.
It's understandable.
Yeah. And then it took a while, and then I watched it, and I actually liked it. I think it's a pretty good movie. I'll tell you what, though. That second trailer for The Mandalorian
looks damn good.
Yeah, it does. And Disney Plus is available next week, right?
I think so. Yeah, they're kicking it off.
Like, yeah. So I'm sorry. Do I have to get that like on a Roku or Fire Stick? Where do I get that?
I don't know.
Your toaster should handle it. No, yeah, you're going to have to pay for the extra service. Yeah,
I know that. Yeah. I know I have to pay for it.
You can get it on any one of those. Yeah, okay. Any of the streaming devices.
But it's not already in my television apps?
I don't think it'll be. I think you'll have to pay to activate it.
But yeah. I mean,
download it.
Will Xfinity have the app is what you're asking?
Not Xfinity, but your TV.
It's my television.
Yeah, your smart TVs have apps these days.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on your Sony, you can probably just go to the app page and download the app for it.
Okay. Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy was equally gracious in her statement. David Benioff and Dan Weiss are incredible storytellers. We hope to include them in the journey forward when they are able to step away from their busy schedule to focus on Star Wars.
You know what we need to do? We need to get Carl, because Carl Weathers is featured prominently in the trailer. And we need to get him back on to talk about this.
He was so great.
Yeah.
By the way, back in August, Benioff and Weiss signed a massive nine-figure deal, deal at Netflix.
Okay.
And their busy schedule is the reason given for exiting the Star Wars thing. So they're doing okay. They're just a tad bit busy. Let's see. Let's circle back to the royal family for just a moment. Kate Middleton and Prince William discussed marriage while they were dating in order to take the pressure off of themselves and make sure they wanted to spend the rest of their lives together. In royal correspondent Katie Nichols' new book, Kate, the Future Queen, she writes, there on the Paradise Island, William promised Kate that he was in the relationship for the long term. For the very first time, they talked seriously about marriage, and with the ocean before them and beneath the night sky, they made a pact to marry.
My dearest Kate, I love you.
What island were they on, does it say?
It says the Paradise Island. I don't know if that means Paradise Island in the Bahamas or not.
Yeah, they went to like a Club Med thing.
Yeah.
Unlimited drinks and you don't have to tip. I left my wallet at home. I can't get enough of Buster Poindexter.
They played hot. Everywhere you go.
It's like Marley in Jamaica.
Hey. Totally. Oh, my God. He's walking. He's got two drinks with the little umbrellas in his hand. Do a little sachet.
ID.
As the music's playing.
More jerk chicken, please.
The pair did split.
They call it oatmeal, but it tastes like tapioca.
The pair did split temporarily after they made that pact, but all's well that ends well. Of course, they got married in 2011. They have three kids, and it's a wonderful, beautiful relationship.
I like her a lot.
Speaking of beautiful relationships, Amy Schumer and Chris Fisher shocked many when they got married in a secret beach ceremony 2 years ago. But ever since, the pair have turned into couples goals for many. She posted a tribute to him, acknowledging what has changed and what hasn't since welcoming a baby together. She wrote, "But before we had our little babe, it was just us. I love Chris so much. I hope whoever you are with is so kind to you and also drives you. Oh, I hope whoever you are with."
Is there some of the
shut up? You know, just improv that you have been known, known as. I haven't heard that in a while.
It's been a while.
No, I hope whoever you are with...
Asked, is there some of the improv that you have been come to known as? From Touchstone Pictures, The King's Speech 2. Is there some of the improv that you have been come to known as?
Oh, my God. Oh. I love that idea. I absolutely love that idea. Nick Murphy needs to get started on that right away. The King's Speech 2.
I was watching the Predator clip all over the weekend of the Predator singing
so
opera.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I must have watched it over and over and over. It's hilarious. Nick Murphy is a genius. All right, so anyhow, going back to this quote, she said, "I hope whoever you are with is so kind to you and also drives you crazy, but you love them so much and you want to hang out with them more than anyone." Right. That's what we got, and I'm grateful for this guy every day, even though he loves taking different routes every time we go somewhere, and I like going the way I know. It's good, she says.
She said that he's a little bit on the spectrum, and that's what makes their relationship work.
Yeah, she loves that.
He is completely candid, and she loves that.
Yep. Netflix has snagged the worldwide rights to The Last Letter from Your Lover, a rom-drom.
Rom-drom?
Mm-hmm. It's the first time I've seen that before. A rom-drom, I'm assuming is drom.
Oh.
A rom-drom starring the Oscar-nominated...
Is there some of the improv for which you have become known as?
Come to know.
From Touchstone Pictures.
It's the not
King's
a...
Speech 3.
It's not a rom-drom. It's a...
It's a hand job.
It's a ram jam.
It's a ram jam. Oh, Black Betty?
Yeah, you go.
Oh, there you go.
That's it. By the way, Touchtone does all of our films.
Yes, absolutely. We've given them more titles than
we have. Yeah. All right, so
if they produce any one of them, we want a piece.
All right, anyhow.
Oh, man, I love that song.
I know. It's a great song. But the rom-drom starts...
Touchstone Pictures, the story of a man who loved a song. Casey stars in I Love That Song.
Is that a follow-up to I Like It, That Sound?
I like it, That Sound.
To I Love It, That Song.
For the people who brought you Wii, guess what I get to do? And very much grace.
Hey, oh, my God. Yeah, we should come up with movie titles. Been come to known as. We guess what I get to. I love it. That
because sometimes if it's cryptic, people go, I have to investigate what this is about. This seems interesting.
All right, well, anyhow, the last letter from your lover is the name of this movie. It's a rom-drom. It stars Oscar-nominated Felicity Jones, Callum Turner, and Shailene Woodley. The dual narrative love story is based on Jojo Moyes' best-selling novel of the same name, and a release date is to be determined. And one last thing, in the first 5 years, HBO Max will reach 50 million U.S. subscribers. This is according to AT&T. They're projecting this. The CEO, Randall Stephenson, said this is a product that's going to be very different from any other product you've seen in the market so far.
Really? It's going to be exactly like all the other products.
Yeah.
So, but this is their projection, so they're obviously going to hype it.
Of course. He says, this is not Netflix. This is not Disney. This is HBO Max. It's going to have a very unique position in the marketplace. HBO Max is debuting as Apple and Disney also launch subscription services.
With that music underneath, Casey,
it's going to be a wonderful approach to streaming services. It's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen before. We're very excited about the possibility.
We should have had someone else do this.
I think one thing that they are going to try to do with this is maintain the appointment television aspect of it. So the Game of Thrones on Sunday night at 9, the Watchmen, you know, people using HBO as water cooler conversation the next day, which is not what happens with Netflix.
Well, wait a minute. What is HBO Max?
It's a version of a streaming service, but it's going to apply existing formats for HBO and Cinemax.
It's basically like the HBO, the HBO channel, for lack of a better word.
Right.
As a straight streaming service.
Okay. It's something
so in other words, HBO Plus, you can go get, you can selectively pick your show. Am I correct on that, Nick?
Yes.
Yeah. That was my understanding of it. I'm sorry, Case. Were your take on it?
No. It's just another one of these apps to shove into your gaping apple.
But hang on.
In your gaping apple.
But wait. I already have HBO. I don't need this, right?
I don't think so.
Not unless you, I mean, listen, you probably already own Endgame on DVD, so do you need the Disney Plus app? You know, it's just another way to...
No. I'm talking about HBO particularly, this HBO Max thing.
My point is that there will be content provided by HBO Max that isn't provided by the HBO channel that you already have.
That's a bunch of crap.
I know, and that's
garbage.
And that's why these things, that there's a bit of a backlash against them, because people are looking at Disney Plus and they're like, well, I already own all of these movies on DVD, why do I want it? And it's because... they're going to have The Mandalorian, and they're going to have new things that you don't have yet. So there are so many different ways to consume so much different content that people are kind of getting fed up with it.
And they are. And ultimately, I think there's going to be blowback. Your exact reaction, Preston, is the reaction of a lot of people who say, wait a second, so I'm paying for this service, and I've been a lifelong subscriber, and now you tell me I need this? It's like when you would buy video games, and they charge you for add-ons to the video games. It's like... what's going on here? I think people seem they're getting nickel and dime to death.
Totally.
And that's going to happen because honestly, there's only so much content you can take in and without foregoing bathing and eating and living.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, yeah, and you're talking about nickel and diming. It's only $10 a month.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's add that up for a year, $120, and I need five of these services to get all the shows that are brand specific to them.
Right, which shows, because like...
And then you're talking over $500, $500, $600 for a year. That's obscene.
I just did the DC channel. I just did the streaming service. I'm ready for Picard. I got the CBS thing. But after a while, it's like, you know, I think people are going to jump in, watch the shows they want, and or if these shows eventually end up on Apple TV, you know, because you can get it on iTunes, basically. Oh, they're different freaking names. You can just wait till the shows run its course and then pick it up then. But it is a bit annoying.
I'd like to remind everybody that we are free of charge here.
Yes.
On the Preston and Steve Show.
Even our podcast.
Not 1 cent. So please enjoy that. And that is for the entire history of us being... in entertainment. So anyhow, so this HBO Max is debuting as Apple and Disney have also launched their subscription services. So there you go. All right, we're ready for the clips. Here we go. An ex-lawyer looking to start a fresh life moves into a new mansion only to discover its supernatural secrets in Girl on the Third Floor. Here, Tristy Kellen Dunn.
Who?
Kelly Dunn.
I think it's Trieste.
Okay, Trieste Kelly Dunn. Still doesn't help me. Talks about getting into her Scream Queen role. Here we go.
But it was fun. It was just like, it was more physical than I thought it would be. Like, yeah, because you're running around. You're like screaming your head off. You can't practice stuff like that. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to rehearse this at home. You can't rehearse screaming.
I can't take it.
The girl on the third floor is now playing in select theaters nationwide. Here's the next one. The T-800, Terminator, and Sarah Connor return for more chaos in Terminator Dark Fate. In this clip, Arnold Schwarzenegger reminisces about James Cameron telling him his plans for another Terminator film.
And he said to me, he says, what do you think about doing another Terminator movie? And I said, a Terminator movie? Yeah. I said, well, what would be the story? And he was telling me the story, and he says, and we're going to have Linda back. What about that? And I said, oh, man, that would be exciting.
Terminator Dark Fate hits theaters Friday, by the way, and we have a screening tonight.
Yay!
It's in IMAX, and it will be at the UA Riverview, and you can go to it tonight at 7:30. You need to be there by 7. I will take 5 callers at this very time. 215-263-WMMR, and we will put you on that list. You will get to see that movie tonight. How about that? So go ahead and give us a call, and let's get you on board. All right, we're going to take a break. Steve-O is stopping by this morning. He'll be in our studio performing at Helium Comedy Club on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we're also going to talk to the author of Kindness and Wonder, Why Mr. Rogers Matters Now More Than Ever. The movie's coming out. His name is Gavin Edwards. We'll be talking to him later on today. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Brent Porch Thursday from 7 to 9 at the Union Tap, 2711 Comedy Road in Northeast Philly for the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle. Enter to win Eagles tickets and signed Eagles merch, courtesy of Bud Light Platinum. And enjoy $2.50 Bud Light drafts and $3 Bud Light Platinum bottles.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
We were talking earlier about the three women behind home plate at the World Series, flashing their bibbies. By the way, did that make it on national television?
Oh, yeah. It did, yes. Oh, clearly.
I don't care about the World Series now. So.
There was no mistaking it. And I find myself watching behind home plate a lot. I don't know why, but I get distracted by it. And then and then you saw this coming on. And it was one of those things where the instant reaction was, wait, did I just see what I think I just saw? Yeah.
Right.
Blurred out, though, right? Because every replay I've seen of it.
No.
It's not.
No. Initially, it was not. In fact, there are screen captures of it completely fine.
But I only saw two women.
Me too.
So, okay.
When I was watching live.
Two women were officially banned. There may have been another one that was with them. And okay.
All three were, is my understanding.
What?
Yeah, that three.
Flashing?
All the three of them were officially banned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I only saw two women actually doing flashing while they were there.
Right.
So, okay. So they're all Instagram models. I don't know what that means. If they're regular models, but they're Instagram. So they're they had their followers and stuff like that. But it was they'd shot a whole bunch of video, Preston, prior to going in with their plan to do what they were going to do, and then they did it. So
yeah, it says here Julia Rose said she and a second woman were banned by Major League Baseball for the incident.
Mm.
I haven't seen any flashing in a long time.
The Capitals won the Stanley Cup last year, and do you guys remember right after the win, when the game was over, they were skating around the rink with the Stanley Cup over their head, and there was a woman who pressed her boobs up against the ice. Against the glass.
Against the glass?
Yeah. We talked about it briefly, but that happened like a year and a half ago. But that was the last that I remembered.
Well, the purpose and intent was to throw off the pitcher.
No, I think it was to bring attention to their Instagram following base. Because you got to figure, Steve, to have the seats that they had in the World Series, how much did those tickets cost?
Thousands.
Like that's thousands.
So
that was an investment to further their brand. I wonder how many followers they gained just
exactly right. So they got all that, and the cause has changed multiple times from they were there and they were to distract B for breast cancer,
okay,
and then C to make a statement about women being able to be like they said a guy could flash without any issue.
Sure.
But the Astros were pitching. So they were definitely trying to distract him if they could, which didn't work because they ended up winning like 7-1 or something.
They're also, I mean, if he's looking at the catcher, You know, this is a World Series. He's just, you know, focused. They were a little off to the left.
Yeah.
Still. Still.
But it might make him pause for a moment and go, hang on. In fact, Here's the thing. He does.
He does call time out.
Yeah, he calls time. So he was looking.
Okay. I don't know if he called time or if the batter called time. But so maybe the third person was on the phone with somebody who was watching TV who said...
Oh, you're right. The batter called time. We just watched the video. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, so maybe there was a third person who was giving them... Because they're flashing to get on TV, I think. I mean, there might have been like five reasons. And, you know, one of them was breast cancer. Another one was the whole, you're not allowed to show your boobs, but guys are.
They just wanted to flash and get their attention. And they got it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, right? So ultimately, and they I think it seemed like they were piling on reasons to do it after.
Yeah.
You know?
Marissa, have you ever flashed your boobs to...
I knew you were going
to... I know.
I was staring at you. I was like, he's just about to ask me.
Sure.
Yeah. Once.
Well, mainly I'm asking to the entire audience, really, and this was to distract someone?
Oh, not to distract somebody.
Oh, okay.
I think
I got some pot once in a parking lot of a Creed concert at the Spectrum.
In order to get pot, you did this?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a good way to get pot.
Wow.
In the parking lot of a Creed concert?
I would totally give you pot if you flashed.
The boobs can be used.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Most definitely. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. And it's a standard. I mean, you know, the standard payout is beads if you go to Mardi Gras. In fact, that's expected.
Yeah. That's part of the game.
I wonder, though, in this case, do you think some lawyers will pick up on this and say, how come, like, a guy could...
Why not?
A guy could lift his shirt up and not be ejected.
Do some kind of pro bono case and get a little bit
pro
of...
Pro boner.
Absolutely. Yep, I think so.
Yeah, there was a lot of flashing when I went down to Jazz Fest. I think, like, it was to start that Mardi Gras atmosphere.
Right.
Because everyone's just walking around Bourbon Street, and you're kind of like, isn't it supposed to be a party down here? And then suddenly one girl flashes, and, like, boom, that's all it took. One set of boobs, and the party starts.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm wondering about distracting, about using it to throw somebody off.
At a sporting event. Yes. Have you ever seen that happen in person?
No, I've never.
I think you're right. It's diminished. It used to happen a lot more.
I've never been at a sports event.
Now, I've seen it at a chess match.
Concerts, yes. I've definitely seen that before.
That's a perennial.
Hang on a second. Let me go to Tom has a comment here. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Tom?
Hey, so the one chick, Julia Rose, I was, after it happened, I went on her Twitter.
Yeah.
She had 125,000 followers. I just checked this morning. She's already up to like 300,000.
There you go.
There you go.
Yep. Mission accomplished. Yeah. Mission accomplished. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, man. See you later.
So what they're just looking at, they've been closed out of any baseball stadium now. They're banned. So does it come? Are there any criminal charges that they're facing?
No.
Public lewdness.
Nope. Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you remember, it was I don't know, maybe like 15 years ago, maybe more like 20 years ago, when what used to be a regular thing at sporting events, specifically in the 70s and 80s, were streakers. People would run out onto the field completely naked. They'd take him away.
And that'd be it.
Maybe a misdemeanor, a little slap on the wrist or something like that. But then they started throwing charges that allude to if kids are in attendance, that it gets a little bit more dicey. And they started getting really serious about
that. Well, in a more innocuous level, that Morgana, remember her? Was that her name?
The Kissing Bandit.
Right, the Kissing Bandit. Yeah. She'd run out, and that was... And then at a certain point, we're wondering whether that was orchestrated with the team and whether that became part of the thing that was expected.
And she had ridiculously large boobs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She would be wearing no bra, and they would flop up and down when she was running out. And, that was her thing to kind of cause a bit of a stir. But people would run out completely naked, full-on nude in sporting events pretty regularly.
Quick side question. Did she end up in one of the Naked Gun movies?
I don't know.
Or was there a version of that ended up Frank Drebin was the umpire? Okay, sorry. I just wanted to put that out there.
I don't know. Hang on. Let me go to Shayna. Hey, Shayna, good morning.
Hey, hi.
Hey, hi. What's up, Shayna?
So Julia, who was one of the flashers, I follow her on Instagram. She used to be on an MTV show called Are You the One?
Okay.
So I followed her from that, and so I know that they started an online website called ShagMag.com,
okay.
yeah. which is basically a porn site where they make videos, these girls together. And that is what they were promoting by doing this flashing.
So oh, really? So it's a girl-on-girl, yeah. a girl-on-girl porn site called Shagmag?
From what I understand from Instagram, yes.
Huh.
And they all started it, and that's now that as they're like posting these articles from the baseball game, it's all to promote this website.
Well, you know, now our interest has peaked, obviously, because of this. And you wonder, as Casey pointed out, how did they get tickets?
I wonder if they their way down. You know, if they didn't have those tickets, but if they used their guile and their
charms.
Sexy ways and yeah. the charms and their boobs to get better seats, you know, to get to work their way down.
Damn, I don't know,
I've used my penis to get
either.
Better seats.
I'd say normally, but maybe not World Series.
Exactly. The World Series...
That's difficult.
World Series behind home plate?
Yeah.
If you just know one security guard, though, and you go say hi.
But what are the chances of an empty seat being down there? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, and are they from Houston? Do they know these security guards? Like, where are they from? Because you guys might know a security guard because you're from this area. And you go to, you know what I mean? I don't necessarily know if these guys are from Washington, D.C., which
wonder,
is where the game was.
Case, what if they had, like, rich sponsors who pay, or at least made the investment to get them,
yeah.
to, you know, all of this stuff.
Yeah. Because, and again, they had to time it perfectly so that they got on TV, which is not always easy. Believe me, I tried to get on TV on Sunday at the Eagles game.
And you did.
And I put myself in a great position, and I did not have to show my boobs. But
explain what happened. Explain what you
did.
Well,
no, I will in a second. Yeah. But the story is that three people got banned, but only two people showed their boobs. So there had to have been a third person who was, like, on the phone with somebody who said, okay, I can see, and they wore bright yellow shirts,
right.
So you could see them. Okay, we can see you now. Lift your shirt, and you see the one girl lift her shirt, and then the other one's like, "Oh, okay, you know, now it's time." So this was calculated.
Oh yeah,
pretty
yeah.
good.
I really don't mind. What does it air on ESPN?
What, the World Series?
Yeah, it was on
Fox.
It's on Fox. Okay,
yeah, no, it's Fox.
Okay,
I was watching it live and digital antenna, so no delay or anything.
By the way, Nick, people are texting, and it was Kingpin.
Yes, Bill Murray cops a feel
that Morgana.
Oh, that's
yeah.
comes out.
It's a great scene. Yeah, and then he brings her back, grabs her ass, and yeah.
somebody texted in that they had a streaker at their Powder Puff game.
Wait, what's a Powder Puff game?
That's where the girls play football.
Oh, Jesus.
High school?
Yeah, you guys never had Powder Puff games? Mm-hmm. Or you did? Okay, yeah. So the girls play football, and the guys dress up as cheerleaders, and it's all that. But so they had a streaker at their Powder Puff game, and they got arrested. So there you go.
Yeah, they're not tolerating as much. I think once your dong is hanging out in front of kids, you know, but they in the thing that's the issue now is it okay, like, you know, in a stadium for a woman to take her top off, you know?
Are the mooning and the pressed ham as big anymore?
I mooned somebody last week.
You did last week?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I was going to press ham, but I didn't want to. It was down the hall at the other studio.
I didn't see.
wait, our own coworkers?
Yeah.
I didn't see bare ass yesterday, but I did see a man spread his butt cheeks on the streets of Philadelphia.
What?
Why?
So we were at Steven Singer Jewelers, and we were walking over there. And somebody had pulled over to right at 8th and Walnut, insanely busy there, okay? So this person had parked his car in a non-parking spot too close to the corner. A city bus is making the turn.
Mm.
The car's parked where it shouldn't be, so the bus can't make the turn. The car's in the way. So the bus driver starts leaning on the horn. Well, the guy who had parked the car happened to be standing right there, and he didn't like that. And he starts flipping off the bus driver. Meanwhile, everybody else is honking their horn going, dude, move your car, move your car. And the guy bends over, spreads his butt cheeks. I took video after it.
Did he drop trowel?
No, didn't. He didn't, but he wanted to. He was pointing to his ass and spreading his butt cheeks.
Was he like, excuse me, may I ask you a few questions?
No, what does that mean?
Oh, it's from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
No, I don't.
A very, very famous scene in that movie.
No, but he was spreading his butt cheeks and pointing to it. So it wasn't a full-on moon, and it wasn't pressed ham, but it was
still
very entertaining.
Yeah.
Did the guy end up moving his car?
Well, we were actually in our car at the time. The bus was blocking our way to get to where we wanted to go, and so we sat through two cycles of the light, and then we're like, we're out of here. So we made a turn. And by the time we got back down to that corner, Or while we were there, we saw a meter maid walking over where, like, this dude's illegally parked. She's like, I know. She was rolling her eyes, so she was headed over there. But he was gone by the time we parked our car and got down there.
There's a homeless gentleman right on Front Street near Delaware Avenue, like right behind the Target, who stands there with, like, a coat on and his belt buckled, but his pants low enough so his ass is hanging out. And if, like, somebody honks their horn or something at a stop sign, he'll turn around and just lift up his jacket, and you just see everything.
Really?
So he's a performance artist.
Pretty much, Steve, yes.
Yeah. Does he get paid for that?
So he's doing that for entertainment value?
For breast cancer month.
See, it all comes around. It's all relative. I think personal Steve. Entertainment.
Brown eye for breast cancer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
I think that's a new
Let's
slogan.
See if we can do that.
Yep, brown eye for breast cancer.
November.
And almost October. Bend over and spread your butt cheeks. It's for breast cancer.
Come on,
get it, right?
Come on. Charity.
All right. Let me see. Hang on. Sean has a response about the ladies in the World Series. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Nothing but yeah.
Yeah. Not a but yeah. What's up, man?
So they put a video on YouTube kind of the whole, like, 2 days prior to the flashing, and they show them buying tickets or, like, credit card gets declined because it's so much money. They show them getting kicked out and, like, the aftermath. So it's like a 4 or 5 minute video.
So they put it up prior to it?
Once they got, or after the game, they
They had been filming it beforehand.
Yes.
Okay. My guess is there was, I don't think they pulled their Instagram money and bought, I think somehow someone else. Yeah, I mean, listen, and we're talking about it. And why? Because they're three very attractive Instagram models, and they got, and it's no pun intended, titillating. But there's somebody behind this who's got a little bit more money.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they cut them 10 grand. I mean, they may have seen that as worth paying for all the exposure that they were going to get out
of it. Possible,
so,
yeah. I don't even know. But what were those tickets going for, face value?
That's a good question. Anybody have any idea?
I paid $600 for one ticket in 2008 for a World Series, and it was not behind home plate. And that was, that was face value for good seats behind the visitor's dugout. And so that was 10 years ago. Yeah, $600, $625, something like that. So
maybe it wasn't that much.
But I would guess behind home plate, two or three rows back, probably $4,000
or $5,000.
Yeah, per. Yeah, per.
All right. Yeah. Well, you're right, Bill Preston. Maybe they see it as a viable business investment.
I don't know. It certainly
has paid off in fame.
Yeah. I wonder if they have sponsors and all that other good stuff on there.
What's their website? Buttmasters.com or something?
Yeah, Bust the Asians.
Yeah.
What's the Patreon?
Buttmasters.
There's a...
Patreon is like open...
Right. Open
material.
Sourcing, right. Yeah. But so you can sponsor anybody through Patreon, right?
Okay, yes.
And so these three women are sponsored via Patreon to do whatever. And so they make several $1,000s a month just through that. So they probably could have gotten sponsored to buy these tickets to show up and do something titillating.
Okay. No pun intended. Actually, pun intended.
That one I think it was.
Yeah. Well, hey, whatever. Listen, I didn't care about the World Series, and now I kind of do. I think it's, maybe this is healthy.
I was furious because I was reminded that I wasn't going to see a new episode of The Simpsons because Fox was carrying it last night. And there we go. Yeah. At a certain point, unless you're invested team wise, I know Nick, you're a big baseball
guy. I love it. It's been a really interesting World Series game six tonight. By the way, their Patreon, it's $15 a month. And she has nearly 10,000 subscribers, which means that she's making $150,000 a month.
It says underneath her picture, Shag member.
Yeah. There you go. Shag member.
Shag mag.
Yeah.
And then Shag member. Okay.
Yeah. She's also got 3 million Instagram followers.
And I'm sure that's going up all
the
way.
I'll tell you what, though. It's wild when you hop on Twitter. And so I end up following a lot of people who follow me just to say thank you for following me. And so I get exposed to what they put up as well a lot of times. And the people who classify themselves as social media models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a very relaxed definition of model when it comes to social media in many instances.
Yeah. And are these people that are claiming themselves as that?
Claiming themselves. Okay. Model is a stretch. A lot of times they're wholly unattractive, but they believe they have a contract with Twitter. you know.
Yeah, so Julia Rose is followed on Instagram by Angela Perfetto.
There you go.
Ryan Phillippe.
Oh, well, there you go.
Chris Hogan, who is a wide receiver for the Panthers these days.
So she's legit?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that you can just go and find out, you know, who of your followers follow.
Does Angela have a Patreon account?
Does she have a what account? I don't know. I have no idea. But, yeah, so this chick is winning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's talking about her.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, of course. But she was winning when God gave her a DNA structure that ended up working out nicely.
But this strategy has worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is what do you do next? What's how do you top that?
I think you try to become a Supreme Court judge.
Maybe you do that.
All right, guys. When's the next game? Is it tonight?
Yep.
All right.
You going to do it, Case?
Preston Steve butt plug. Behind home plate, what do you think? Do you think that'll get us some followers?
What do you mean?
If I put a butt plug in and I moon the camera and it says Preston and Steve on it.
Jesus, I didn't know.
I thought this was a charity thing.
I thought it was a charity event.
I thought he was talking about promoting a charity.
All right, I'll put a can of something up there instead.
Yeah. But we used
it'll be the Camp Out for Hunger.
We say butt plug all the time.
How about inserting a mag light?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going actual butt plug.
No, is it Preston's T butt? Yeah, I guess you're. No, no.
There's a fan there putting a full police mag light into his butt.
You know, the game sure has changed, Ralph.
It's for breast cancer.
Yeah.
You got to get to Houston tonight, Case. It's not in D.C. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. In Houston, maybe.
Well, you see, D.C. would have been doable.
Right. All right. How much for a
D.C. was right? Yeah. D.C. was viable, but Houston seems extraordinarily difficult.
Wait, what did you say? How much for a mag light?
No. I may have said that. How much? No. For behind the home plate
seats.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, do you carry full-size mag lights like the police use? It's for my butt.
You check that, or you buy it when you get to Houston?
Like, you can buy that when you get to Houston.
What's
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for Breast Cancer Month.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I would do it for Camp Out for Hunger. I
mean, there you
that,
go. Thank
that
you,
is the obvious.
Fill abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that way, the next time we're up at the award show in Washington.
Right. Yeah. They remember, they play little clips.
I'm Kelly Ripa. And everyone was moved to tears when Casey put a mag light in his butt. Wow.
And said, F hunger in the butt.
Those inspiring words are now etched on marble.
That's the statement trying to be made.
Yeah.
F hunger in the butt.
F hunger in the butt. Camp out.
Can't wait to see those signs this year.
Oh, my God, no. Oh.
No, you can't.
Have your son or daughter.
Yeah.
Hold
on.
Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh, I love how they, you know, after the fact, it started attaching social impact. We believe that women should be able to do this in public.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a chance for, it's to stop big game hunting. Really? Really?
Never forget Cecil the Lion.
Yeah. Harambe.
Harambe.
Right. Oh, my God.
The Boxer Rebellion.
Oh, my God.
Come on. I love it.
How many people had to die because of the Prussian War?
I wonder how many interviews they're doing this morning, you know, or yesterday.
I wonder how they're embraced by... like, do they end up on GMA and the Today Show?
What about like Bachelor Nation or Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh my God, where it could think a moment like that. Who was it we had by here the other day that said Bagel Boy, the Bagel Man?
Yeah, exactly.
Angry Bagel Guy.
Yeah.
Was doing some kind of show or something like that.
Doing stand up
boxing.
He has. Damon Feldman boxing, which I guess that came off. But the, stand up and performing now. He's got an agent.
Was it Soder that was here that was talking about that?
Maybe.
I don't remember, but oh my God. You know, you're right. Something like this can spin off into a pseudo celebrity career that'll last just for a little bit.
How quick do you think now we're getting to the point where there's, where we, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, you'd be more inclined to get swept up in it. I think now I see an almost immediate reaction against it. These overt attention grabs,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, you're
I
right,
I think
Steve.
Find people being much more suspect of things.
Totally. However, it's still working.
It like, still works. You know,
and,
you're right.
And I'm
you're
aware
right.
of her name now. So, yeah, I'm not as enamored by it,
yeah.
but I'm aware of it.
I wonder, but there's no viable. The transition would have to be we would have to completely ignore it.
Yeah,
and
but you know what? She's
we're not.
How can you ignore it? She's trying to get pets spayed and neutered and doing it all for the SPCA
and
you know?
Harambe.
Yeah, exactly. They can spin it into all that stuff.
I'm Sarah McLachlan. I'm showing you my areola to save these puppies.
Hey, whatever you got to do, man. For a
this
good
is
cause.
Bing Bing the Chihuahua. He's what they call a tripod.
Oh my God.
His legs was removed because of cancer. Here are my bibbies.
Here are my bibbies. Wow. Okay. Well, a reminder that the Camp Out for Hunger is coming up. And we're going to F hunger in the butt.
That's right.
F hunger in the butt.
Yeah. And if you have not gotten your dates set for that, it is December 2nd through the 6th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. So details, WMMR.com. I had somebody asking me, emailed me about sending out boxes and stuff like that.
Yes.
You can put together your own box with the information that we have at WMMR.com. You can print up the banners and put it on a box at work and help us, you can be a part of this in that regard as well. So feel free to go to WMMR.com and PrestonSteve.com.
Yeah, there's a sort of a kit there.
Yeah, exactly. And just click on the bear boobs and that'll take
right.
you straight to it. It's all charity money. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course, yes. So
you can do anything for charity.
F hunger in the butt. All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. I got some bizarre file stories that I think you're going to love. And also, Steve-O is going to be here in a little while.
Yeah.
Steve-O is appearing at Helium Comedy Club Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday and Saturday are sold out. Some tickets remain for Thursday, so keep that in mind. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Dinosaur Pilo. Godsmack. Under your scars, I pray. You're like a shooting star in the rain. The Struts. Dancing
in the street. New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I'm going to do a couple of shout-outs before we get into the B-file. I have a stack of him.
Listen,
stack of them here that are just, here you go. Here's one from July 3rd.
July 3rd.
Yes. It says, hey, I'm a new listener. I love it. I have a request for my boyfriend, Video Aiello, who believes that you and Steve are, in fact, his best friends.
That's nice.
Not anymore since it's July 3rd.
I know. He is a 6'5" monster who drives all day and has friends who listen to you both as well, conversing like truck drivers on your daily topics.
Oh.
Announcing him on your broadcast would completely make his day. If you could give him a shout out on his travels, I'll whip up some baked goods and have him stop by and drop them off. It's okay. You don't need to do that. Thank you. After all, she says he knows where his BFFs live.
Love that.
Happy days to you all. That is from Maria Silvestro. So here is a shout out for Vinny. Hope you guys are still together because this is from July 3rd.
You know, though, people come up and they say, is it weird that we can, you know, they talk to you and they know things about us or whatever. And it's not. We consider you our friend. It's so that we understand that vibe.
Yeah.
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. We love it.
This is, hey guys, I'm from Delco, and this is from October 1st. This is much better.
Last year.
I have been listening to you guys from the Y100 days. I moved to the D.C. area for work, but still podcast you guys every day. My birthday was Tuesday, October 1st, and was shocked as S to get a birthday message from the entire WMMR team. Pierre even played the gong. You guys are really bad singers. A great surprise and a fantastic perk of being a WMMR VIP member. Thank you. I wanted to give a shout out to you guys, you effing rock. And that is from loyal podcaster Eric Shafil. So a shout out for us. But yes, you get a little birthday greeting if you're a VIP member. So sign up for it. Here's another one that says, hey, my sister Mackenzie and I are longtime listeners, loyal podcasters, not so privileged camp out attendees and PNS enthusiasts in general. It's well known that all of our information, both news and celeb, is derived from what we hear on the podcast, and we often tout outdated stories as breaking news since we're inevitably a month or so behind on listening. That being said, I'd love to send my sister a birthday shout out. The beauty being that it is not until December 16th. So if you happen to get to it beforehand, odds are she won't hear it until sometime in December, or if you file this into the shout outs for later file. So we're going to do this now. Happy birthday, Ken's and Gadzooks gang. And that is from Amber Pavlo. So there you go. A shout out for you, Ken's. Here's one that says, hey, Preston, just to let you know. When was this one from? This is from the 15th.
Ah, not bad.
Let you know, you guys know that a prior winner of Council Rock North School District, coolest teacher, Phil Mann, just released his first book. It's a sincere message for fathers and their overall emotions for their daughter/daughters. He is a loving husband and wonderful father to their two daughters. The book is called I Will Always Protect You by Philip Mann and is available on Amazon. Please share his book and message with the wonderful WMMR community. They say it's from an anonymous friend, so we'll do a shout out for him putting his book out. Thank you very much. Congratulations, Mr. Mann.
From his publisher.
Mr. Mann!
It works Mr. out. Hey, Mr. Mann, you with your book.
Mm-hmm.
You book writing man, you.
Here's what it says. I want to give a shout out to our new baby boy, Nolan, and my amazing wife, Caitlin. He was born October 15th, 5 weeks early. He's in the NICU and maybe there for a few weeks, or maybe he's out by now because this was, on the 15th. My wife and I are in Chicago, but are huge fans and loyal podcasters. We are listening to you guys in the delivery room, or we were listening to you guys in the delivery room while waiting for the baby to arrive.
Chicago! Chicago!
A special moment for me happened on the way to the hospital in My Life by the Beatles and What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong played on my iPhone. I'll never forget that. Thank you for always bringing the ha-ha. A shout-out to your wife. And that is from Mike Gerard. So there you go.
That's a Bill Weston phrase.
You got to bring the ha-ha.
Got to bring the ha-ha.
I know, funny.
I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't very good. Didn't bring the ha-ha.
Good morning, Cleveland.
Oh, my God.
That's where I Know Funny came from.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I Know Funny.
Mm-hmm. Casey?
Are you done with your shout-outs?
No, I got more.
All right.
Let me do it. And then you got something?
Yeah.
You know, this is, and as Marissa pointed out before we were going to go into this, we were talking about doing this right at this point, and Marissa said when you do that, you're going to get a whole bunch more. But listen, it's okay. We love doing it.
Yep.
Just understand if you can't get to them exactly on the time you want.
This says, hey, I wanted to give, and some of these I haven't fully read yet. So I wanted to take the time and give one member of my hometown of Pendel, PA, some recognition. His name is Phil Sweeney. Every summer he has a huge party called Philstock. And he always asks people to come to donate canned goods so he can give them to Phil Abundance. It's a great time with food, music, and vibes. It may not be on the scale of Camp Out for Hunger, but I personally feel like he deserves a shout out. Philstock already happened this year, but he's already planning next year, which he wants to make a block party. And I think with your help, he would be able to stamp out hunger in our community. Hope this email finds you well. Rage on. That's from Amy Fox.
That's wonderful. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, all those little things really do help.
Let me do one more, and then we'll try to catch up to some on another date. Dear President Steve Crew, I was hoping to get a shout out to my lovely wife, Michelle, who's amazing. We all know moms and wives are superheroes, but my wife not only gets to put up with my shenanigans at home, but at work as well. She's the boss at home and at work. And I love our time together. Please send her a shout out for her birthday, October 16th. Sorry. Thanks. And Ray John, love you guys. And that is from Rob Slack. So here you go. That's for Michelle. All right, Casey.
Okay. So it's a shout out. It's a thank you. And it's a
dessert.
There's a small little story involved here as well. So I spent the weekend in Canada. And I went to Canada because I went to the Eagles game in Buffalo. Didn't want to spend the weekend in Buffalo. I went with my cousin and his stepson. So we met at the Plymouth Meeting Mall. And
that's not in Canada.
No, that's where we met.
Oh, okay.
So I picked up lunch for everybody at the Chick-fil-A at the mall. You know, in the course of like me trying to get like ready and move things around the car, I leaned over and accidentally, without knowing, I popped a hole in the bottom of my soda with my straw. Okay. And I had no idea. So then, just as we're about to leave...
Did you put it in the cup holder when I put this happened?
It was in the cup holder.
Okay.
So just as we're about to leave, I go to take a sip from my soda, and I end up spilling soda all over my pants and my seat. And
this in your new car?
This is my brand new car. Oh, my brand new 2020 Subaru Outback. Thank you, Rafferty Subaru. Anyway,
I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be effing kidding me. Like, we're ready to go. So I get out of the car, and I'm like, I didn't get any napkins. I'm like, oh, man, I guess I got to, like, run into Dick's Sporting Goods because that's where we were. I'm like, do I got to, like, get some napkins? And then I just hear this guy go, yo, Gadzooks, man. And I turn around, and he's like, dude, I love the show. It's some guy in, a waste management trash truck. I never got your name, bro. But I go, hey, man, oh, thank you so much. I go, would you happen to have any napkins? He had a full roll of paper towels, and he handed them to me. Like, I couldn't believe my luck. At first, I thought I had bad luck. And as it turns out, I did have bad luck, but it was great timing. So this guy, whoever you are my knight in shining armor. You're my angel. Thank you so much. Shout out to you. Thank you.
All right. And so can you describe what this guy looked like?
All right. So he was wearing like no, I can't. Yeah.
Okay.
He looked like a guy, like a tough guy who would like drive a trash truck. Yeah. You know, he had like a cool Phillies hat on.
But he was a pleasant guy. Had really, paper towels.
And, he was wearing a uniform that would indicate he was...
was a French Foreign Legion uniform?
Or was he in a trash truck?
He was driving the truck. Okay. Right. He was actually driving the truck.
And
so,
it was a trash truck?
And it was a trash truck.
Okay. And the route includes Dick's Sporting Goods, Plymouth Meeting Mall. So, yeah, maybe we can narrow it down.
Yeah. Whoever you are,
you know... Wouldn't it be great to reunite you guys live on the air?
It would be amazing.
Casey.
Oh, my God.
We have someone in the green room. Yes, and then we bring him in.
And then he came back into his life. And they became best friends. My Trash Truck Friend, starring Casey Boy.
My Trash Truck Friend. Oh, that's great.
I'll never leave you without paper towels. I know.
Came to your rescue.
He really did come to my rescue because I didn't know. I mean, it was a full soda that was, by the way.
Did he sweep you up into his big, powerful arms?
No, but I did drink a lot of the soda out of the cup holders.
Out of the straw?
Of the straw. Yeah.
Listen.
It was a brand new car. The cup holders were
pretty clean. You needed to get the liquid out of it. Now, did you drink and swallow or drink and spit?
No, I swallowed it.
Okay.
You swallowed it.
I mean, it's really, in the beginning of a relationship, you do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Later on, you spit it out the window.
All right. By the way, we just got this in. Vinny and Maria are still together.
Oh,
yay!
Somebody
texted it. That's a wonderful thing. All right, we got to do the bizarre file, so let's do it.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Gwynedd Mercy University, where you can make a difference and a living. You can check out their fall open house on Saturday, November 9th. To learn more about their excellent academics, generous scholarships, and deep commitment to service, sign up today at gmercyu.edu. That's gmercyu.edu. From time to time, a news story will surface, and everybody thinks that should be on the Bizarre File. So I get it sent from everyone, and this is indeed that story. The happiness of a gender reveal party turned to tragedy when a woman was killed by debris from an explosion.
No.
The Marion County Sheriff's Office in Iowa said a gender reveal announcement resulted in an explosion, which caused a flying piece of debris to strike the victim. The family was experimenting with explosive material in an attempt to record a gender reveal that could be posted on social media. Family members inadvertently created a pipe bomb with gunpowder.
They built a freaking pipe bomb.
Instead of gunpowder shooting the powder out of the top of the stand that they made, the stand exploded, sending metal pieces flying. Pamela Kreimeyer, 56 years old, was struck in the head and it killed her instantly. Killed her right then and there.
It's a boy.
Can you imagine?
I'm sorry, was it the mother-to-be that was killed?
Excuse me?
Was it the mother-to-be that was killed? Or
It just says Pamela Kreimeyer, 56, was struck in the head. I'm guessing she was not the mother.
Oh, my God.
Gender reveal parties, of course, have gained popularity in recent years, and there have been several reported accidents, most notably in 2007. A party in Arizona ignited a wildfire that burned nearly 50,000 acres.
You know that explosion by the refinery? That was a gender reveal party.
No idea. Wow. In Japan, they have these thing called host bars and bar hosts. One woman found out in a violent way that a host that she'd been cozying up to wasn't as nice as he'd seemed. These are people that are there to help you have a good time
at
clubs. So a 23-year-old host, Hiro Kawakami was out in Tokyo in the bar district with a younger co-worker host and two women that they had met when they come to their club as customers. The group booked a private karaoke box and began singing, but apparently one of the women didn't care for Kawakami's musical stylings and began making fun of him for his off-key vocal performance, calling him tone deaf. Kawakami and the woman then got into a verbal confrontation, prompting the other woman to step in and try and intervene. Having had his vocal cords mocked, Kawakami then decided to show off what he could do with his cranium, so he headbutted the second woman, otherwise striking her, fracturing her orbital floor Jesus. In the process. He did not take kindly to it.
You don't criticize my singing?
He had been dishonored.
Kawakami, you make me lose a face.
Kawakami was subsequently arrested and taken into custody by police. During questioning,
I'm walking on sunshine.
During questioning, he admitted to the charges, saying the woman was making fun of me by saying I sucked at singing and it pissed me off. Meanwhile, the woman's jury.
So I figured I would cave in her skull.
The woman's injury is expected to take about a month to heal up.
That's insane.
Among the 28 men and women charged in a large methamphetamine conspiracy is an attorney, a man known as Cooter, and a woman known as MILF. The conspiracy lasted from 2018 till June of this year and involved at least a half kilo of methamphetamine. The only reason I bring this up is because of the names.
Yeah, why am I betting that MILF is absolutely not?
Dude, it is so far off base.
Yeah?
You can't even begin to imagine.
Do you have a picture there?
I saw the mugshot. I don't have a picture here, but it's what you think.
Is it like calling me bodybuilder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay.
Among
those accused of using homes to distribute drugs are Christopher Cooter Staten and Terry Ard, who, according to an indictment, was known as MILF as she was distributing the drugs. 16 of the 28 defendants are being held. The remaining 12 have been released on their own recognizance.
Oh, my God. We're looking at the MILF.
Oh, is that? Oh, I saw a different picture that was even worse. Mm-hmm. Much worse than that. So, all right. How about this?
Mom, I'd like to forget.
A Massachusetts state police trooper will face a judge next month accused of performing a lewd act on himself during a concert at Gillette Stadium. Mind, this is a state trooper, okay? Yeah. So Trooper Andrew Patterson was able to sneak out a side door during court Thursday at a closed-door hearing. In the hearing, a clerk decided Patterson can be charged with lewd, wanton, and lascivious conduct for his behavior at a Luke Bryan concert.
God, this song is good. Excuse me.
Yeah, police wrote in their report that Patterson was extremely intoxicated. His speech was thick and slurred when they tried to talk to him. The witnesses were a couple sitting next to Patterson. Police were called to the floor of Gillette for the report of a fight where they found a couple who said that Patterson and a friend had been acting inappropriately throughout the night. Patterson had sat in the chair one of the victims, and when asked to move, Patterson motioned for him to sit on his lap. Patterson then ate some of the victim's popcorn, too. At another point, Patterson removed his penis from his shorts and began to pleasure himself.
This is a great concert. I'm going to rub one out if you don't mind.
Jesus.
This song, what a surprise.
I just can't help myself.
It doesn't even sound this good on the album. I'm going to have to rub one out. Thank you.
Patterson's friend.
May I borrow some popcorn?
Now, Patterson's friend apologized to the group.
Sorry.
And then left.
He just loves music.
And the group left. One of the witnesses used the eggplant emoji to write about the incident on Facebook, apparently as it was unfolding, and police later reviewed the post as part of their investigation. They wrote, sick F even pulled out his, and then had the eggplant emoji. When Patterson and his friends returned, one member of the group pretended to grind on the female witness, while another one recorded the dancing on his cell phone.
That seems like an unpleasant concert experience.
Yeah, the male witness knocked the phone out of the recording trooper's hand, and then one of the troopers punched him in the face. The male witness said he then threw a chair at the two men. The couple told police that at the time they didn't want to press charges over the fight, but after hearing their story and reviewing the Facebook post and a string of text messages, police indicated in the report that they were going to pursue a lewdness charge against Patterson. So they weren't going to press charges, but the police got involved, and they were like, okay, we got to take care of this.
And this is a Luke Bryan concert?
A Luke Bryan concert.
I may have to check that out.
Yeah.
If the music's so good, it makes you want to spank yourself.
It's got to be something good in there, right? All right, and then finally, we will end this. Let's go with this one. A 28-year-old man hid a video camera in a bathroom to film his roommates nude, according to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. Deputies arrested Joshua Michael Riffle on two video voyeurism charges after a 58-year-old woman with whom he was living reported him. The woman told deputies she was in her bathroom and she noticed a USB charging hub. She showed a friend who said that it was actually a hidden camera.
Oh, boy.
She also found the camera SD card, which stores the pictures and video. The footage included several videos of her and her daughter nude while undressing and showering. She also found videos of Riffle himself installing and adjusting the camera and of him spanking it in the shower, too.
So he's got footage of himself?
Himself!
What the hell is this?
Oh, look at me. Yeah. You know, he was just warming up for the Luke Bryan show.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at those nipples.
Look at those nipples. Man, this is one massive man.
Detectives arrested Riffle.
One massive meaty man.
Detectives arrested Riffle at his place of work.
What'd I do?
Krabby's Bar and Grill.
Wow, Krabby's Bar and Grill.
Picked him up at Krabby's. There you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file this morning. All right. We have some friends that are here. Jersey Mike's has arrived.
It's my Jersey Mike's, Preston.
It's your location?
Yeah, man.
Well, they have over 20 locations in the Delaware Valley, Nick. Where would yours be?
Radnor.
All right, in Radnor. Jersey Mike's stands for fresh. Fresh cut meats, cheeses, fresh veggies, and freshly baked cookies. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. And I can take caller number 8 and give you a $50 gift card. 215-263-WMMR, and you can check out all information you need at jerseymikes.com. We're going to take a break. Steve O is going to be appearing at Helium Comedy Club, and he will be in our studio in just a moment. Stay with us.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
MMR, buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is performing at Helium Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday, Saturday. Sold out. So you got to get your tickets for a Thursday. Get them now at HeliumComedy.com. We welcome Steve O to the studio.
Yeah, nice to be back, man. Thank you, guys.
Good to see you, sir. And I saw you're in a good place sitting here caressing your dog as we're leading into the interview.
Yeah, this dog is such a star. It's the one I found in the streets of Peru.
Peru?
You did mountain climbing and the whole thing?
Correct,
I've seen the videos. The dog's gorgeous.
It's mortifying for me to be such an attention whore and to have worked so hard doing all of these things. And then the one video I put out that gets the most viewership is the one where I find a dog on the sidewalk.
It's true. But I mean, you know, people and in the city, and my wife and I do a lot of animal charity stuff in the city, and it had a bad reputation. It's turned around, and there's just so many pet people. But you put up, I don't care what the hell you put up, put a picture of you with a dog or a cat, boom.
Right, huge. Why? No, but in this case, the video of me finding this dog, it's the only thing I've ever posted that cleared 100 million views.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
She's a legitimate star in her own right.
What are the logistics of getting a dog from Peru back to the U.S.? Is that a pain in the ass, or was it pretty easy?
I heard it was a real pain.
Yeah?
but I was shooting this TV show down there, and the production took care of all of it.
Okay.
Well,
that's cool.
I had absolutely nothing to do with it.
There are some areas, and you try, and we've gone to different areas sometimes, like in Puerto Rico or wherever you see a dog on the side of the street, and you'll pick it up and try to get it to a shelter, and you don't know when you're out of the state, you don't know what they have as far as facilities go. Yeah. So, but this your dog hit pay dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wendy's been to Puerto Rico.
Luckiest day of Wendy's life was coming across you. But she what a great demeanor.
She's the best. It's awesome.
Do you sometimes, and I find it with animals and pets, I just lull into that crazy, I do the speak and the whole thing and in public, and I'm like, I hope I don't sound like an idiot, but it's
sure.
But it's just a thing you do, you know?
Yeah, it sure is.
I think though, and you walked the walk though. I remember you up on high up on a was it a crane?
Yeah.
SeaWorld, protesting SeaWorld.
For sure.
Yeah, it was some amazing stuff. You're doing, and I was, you've been doing a lot of stuff, and some of the thing I was telling these guys, something that blew me away. I had not seen this video of your bar tricks.
All right.
So for like years and years and years, you know, obviously you don't, you're sober for 10 years now, I think?
11.
11. All right. Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome. But you know, you'd build up the skill set of things that you used to do, to get drinks and so on and so forth. But they're all pretty amazing. How many?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was my 10 best bar tricks. I made the video.
Yeah.
And it was stacked. And I like to approach my YouTube videos like that. I really just load them up and make them as great as I can. And it was fun to do that.
You have a blast doing it. You're kind of dressed as sort of an old
my little magician costume.
What's your favorite of the tricks that you do?
Oh,
I mean, because there's some really wild stuff.
I haven't seen this yet. I'm not familiar with the tricks.
The breadwinner was the one where I say I'm going to balance this drink on my head, and when I let go of it, I put my arms down by my side. I'm not allowed to raise my arms at all while I'm balancing this drink, and I have to drink it without spilling a single drop.
Now, you're a trained circus performer,
right.
So you've got all those chops. But I'm watching this stuff, and I'm like, you know, I didn't even know you had half these capabilities.
Well, thanks.
Well, how do you do it?
What you do is you crouch down, and then until you get your knee on the ground, your arms are still down, and get your hands on the ground, and then you lay yourself down, and you pick up your knees, and you pick up the cup off of your head with your knees, and you go into this crazy handstand and place it down on the ground, and then you pick it up with your teeth.
What?
Yeah.
All right, I'd have to see that.
I'll do it for you during the break.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I can do it with...
With a regular cup of coffee or whatever?
You bet I can do it with a cup of coffee.
Jesus Christ.
I used to do it with the shot glasses.
You posted a pic. I was watching pictures. It's funny. Watching video of early days of Jackass. And yeah, I mean, you look like you're 9 years old. and bam, and the whole thing. But I tell you what, you posted a picture of you from years ago, and now you're still in pretty damn good shape.
Well, thanks, man.
Holding up well. Are you blown away by the fact that you've been able to keep it together?
Oh, I'm blown away by the fact that I'm alive.
That you're alive?
I'm blown away by just about everything about my life.
Yeah.
I'm really, really grateful for, you know.
But you know, you pay it back, though. You're doing wonderful. The animal advocacy is fantastic. Now, it's funny, because last time we had you here, you were talking about all the crap you've done, and you've done some self-mutilating stuff. But that stand-up was the most terrifying thing for you.
I mean, initially it sure was.
Yeah.
It definitely was. I remember the first time I ever tried it, 2006, somebody invited me to a comedy club to do a stunt. And I was still loaded. And I showed up, but I didn't have a plan. And when I walked into this comedy club and looked around, I thought there's just no stunt that I could possibly do, which would be crazier than just getting on stage and trying to get laughs talking to the crowd.
Right.
Like, it was legitimately the most terrifying thing I could imagine doing at the time. And I went for it. It wasn't my turn to go on stage for a while. And so while I waited for my turn, I thought about different things I might say to try to get a laugh, and went on stage maybe 3 minutes, got a couple laughs. And overall, the sense was the crowd was excited to see me, and they were rooting for me. They want to have a good time. And I just knew that this was something I needed to pursue. But, of course, it took a few years for me to get sober and focused.
But you did it the right way. You built it sort of organic. You started with 3 minutes. You build on. You build on. You build on. And was it Dane Cook that sort of helped you along?
Dane Cook really took me under his wing. And we would meet up at the comedy club. And, you know, I would go. And then he would go. Or he would go and I would go. And then sit down and he would give me notes. It's crazy, man. It's just crazy how it worked.
So I have to ask you about, you did this tampon. It's tampon.
Turns out
Frank.
Used tampons are a little much.
Wait. And Whitney, Explain what you did. Okay,
what's the stunt?
It
was a little prank, and the idea was my girl is I've got a fiance, and she works as a prop stylist and a set designer and stuff, and so the prank was to dress up a tampon with fake blood and stuff, and just to make it look realistic, she used coffee as well as fake blood.
Oh, like, my God.
So it was, like, pretty aggressive. And we went out, and she was wearing a little mini skirt, and she, like, had it clenched between her thighs.
Oh,
we're on Hollywood Boulevard and stuff, and you know, she'll stop a tourist and say, oh, I love Slash. Can you take a picture of me with Slash's star?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she crouches down to pose with the star, and it falls out.
Oh my God.
And then she really engages the person, like, you know, oh my God, was that in the photo? And clearly it was in the photo, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, oh my God, she's like, hold on. And she'll pick it up and jam it back in.
Oh, Steve.
And we did different versions of it. She did such a great job. And
well, the comedian, you know, Whitney Cummings.
Reacting to it. Whitney Cummings came over.
Her reaction was properly mortified.
Yeah. And my girl kept pushing it harder and harder. She says, let me see the. So she goes to grab the phone to see the pictures. She's like, hold this. She's handing it to dudes. And like, it's crazy if you put someone on the spot like that, a girl, yeah, dudes holding it.
God.
Yeah.
Is there still the thing that thing that you had initially that was from years ago that was that? To just shock people, to just even so with sobriety and everything, that's always remained intact.
Right. Well, they say, what do they say? They say, you know, drunken horse thief. You get them sober, you got a sober horse thief. I'm just an attention whore.
But you can't, and people, you can see it. They even the most stalwart, you know, person is going to hold out. They begrudgingly start to laugh. It's just it's funny.
I appreciate that. That's a very kind thing to say. And I do believe that on some level, the brand of humor that my buddies and I have, you know, what we've done is it almost defies demographics.
Yeah.
Because there's just certain things that are compelling. And, and I think our ability to not take ourselves too seriously.
Well, because
has been real help.
You guys from the get-go were always the most... put upon subjects of your own humor. It was never that much, occasionally, but mostly at your expense.
Oh, it was always, it was us at each other or at ourselves. And I think that's what really helped more than anything was that it was in a good spirit. You know, it was never mean. It was never bigoted or misogynist or anything. Like, it was just like really almost wholesome is how I view it. And, and I don't know. I'm kind of fiercely proud of the good spirit of the
as well. You should be. We all look fondly at all that stuff. Now MTV's making a big turnaround on kind of embracing older stuff. Have they reached out to you for any?
Well, we've got the 20th anniversary of the premiere of the first episode of Jackass coming up next year.
God.
And so one way or another, I think we all feel like pretty determined to acknowledge this 20 years since Jackass came out. And what that will look like is still a little bit up in the air. But I'm sure there's going to be some kind of something.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Nick just pulled up a picture of a goat sodomizing you. I think that's a goat. I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's an elk.
That's an elk.
It
doesn't
elk.
Have any antlers, so.
Right.
Dear Lord.
I mean, your Instagram... Steve is
just
filled
loaded.
And it's just Steve-O if you want to follow him, but this one was from July, and it's an elk taking you from behind.
Yeah.
Listen, that's part of your animal advocacy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was...
Right. You don't eat animals, you let them...
Right. I consider that to be one, like, the most elusive and incredible... nature shot, like, you know, National Geographic is we just beat them.
Yeah, you could spend years looking for a snow leopard.
Exactly.
We spent years trying to get that to happen right there.
I enjoyed Wild Boys. That was the
and
Pontius's spinoff, I guess you could call it a spinoff.
It was a great show.
I thought it was
I never forgot that the shark sequence alone you swam with great whites
right
blew my freaking mind.
Yep. I just put out out a YouTube video of my 10 craziest shark encounters, which I was a little bit delighted to do.
So Preston started to do some scuba diving. And, you know, my wife is dozen. She'll see the sharks, you know, off in the distance. But these are like reef, you know. These aren't.
Nothing that's going to. They're not man eaters.
Yes, they are.
So it doesn't freak me out.
You totally comfortable? Or do you know?
I've always felt relatively unaccountable for anything that I've done in the presence of sharks, which is pretty interesting because my first encounter with a shark. It bit me.
What kind of shark was it?
A nurse shark.
A nurse shark.
Those are supposed to be the most docile ones out there.
I know. It was the first time. It was the first trip filming for Jackass, and I had this idea called shark hugging. Wanted to hug a shark, and we went with this like tourist company, and they had like I don't know thousands of like families. It was like a family business. Bring your baby, swim with the sharks.
Sure.
And I was the first dude of thousands who managed to get bitten, and it was so heartbreaking too because I was just thrilled about it. But the guy in charge of the business at the time on the boat, he said, "You guys can't show that. I'll go out of business. We can't portray my business as we're going to get you bitten by a shark." And so there was this verbal contract. And so the show came out and
did it kill his business?
I got bit by a shark for nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then all these years later, somehow, I don't know, they didn't feel compelled to honor the verbal agreement anymore. So they let the footage out. And I was just so thrilled to finally be able to put it on my YouTube channel.
Oh, how bad was the bite?
My finger got pretty mangled, just like on the tip of the finger. You know, you can see it on the... You know, on that video, it's and that was the first encounter that I ever had.
You just posted a picture not too long ago of your thumb getting mangled.
Yeah.
What happened there?
I'm working on my greatest skateboard tricks.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been skateboarding since 1985.
Right.
And
something you're pretty good at and comfortable with.
I've been making skate videos for 30 years now.
Right.
And so I'm trying to make a sort of greatest hits one, and I'm working on the big ending, you know?
Yeah.
Here, 45 years old, trying to, like, do, like, a magnificent ending, and I keep just getting broken off trying it. I got together with Tony Hawk to do this thing riding, across a wall from one ramp to another ramp, and I bailed off the board midway across the wall, and then... It just unfortunately found its way under my feet on the ramp when
the board did.
Yeah, and so I did the whole banana peel bit and
You know, it's funny you mentioned Tony Hawk because somebody was bringing up. I forget who it was.
He's the greatest guy.
Yeah, but and it's like I remember when those games, the video games, just dominated.
Oh yeah.
And he was. I mean, he's like greatest of all time status and video work too that he himself was doing. It's astonishing, and I guess the person was sort of complaining that he didn't know if people were as reverential of Tony Hawk as, you know, does he still carry, even for younger skaters?
Tony Hawk.
Sorry, go ahead.
Tony Hawk's Instagram is really funny right now because it's just pictures of people saying, you know who you look like? You look like that old skateboard guy, Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
airport and stuff like that.
I forget who wrote the article, but it wasn't like as overly critical. It's like you can't forget how important Tony Hawk was.
I don't think anybody does. The idea that anybody would be upset that Tony Hawk isn't revered enough is a silly concept to me. It's a very silly.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I think that with that impression might get created just because he has so much humility. Like, he's just...
Humble guy.
I mean, he's the most just humble guy, 100%. Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Steve-O, I wanted to ask because I know, you know, you don't eat meat. You gave that up years ago. Are you vegan?
Yeah, I'm back on fish.
You're on fish. Okay.
Yeah.
But
fish only.
Explain this. You can eat Whoppers again?
Yeah, I love
Why is
it,
that?
Man. Because this Impossible Burger...
The Impossible Whopper, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
this unbelievable
We've
veggie
had
burger.
I thought, it says here, super happy to have Whoppers back in your life. I thought it was the candy, like the malted Whoppers.
No,
like, what does that have to do with
it? Yeah, no, Burger King. That was
Burger King Whoppers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. And, When people used to ask me, do you miss meat? I would say, well, you know, I used to love Whoppers.
Yeah.
And now they use the Impossible Patty.
I'm so with you. I've been a vegetarian since seventh grade, and we grew up a McDonald's family, so we never went to Burger King. So I never had a Whopper in my life until 2 weeks ago. I had one for the first time. It was amazing.
Right.
And those Impossible burgers are so good.
You know what's impossible is to not have anxiety when you're eating it because you think they screwed it up. They screwed it up because I'm eating meat.
They had, when they were testing, so there's Impossible and Beyond, and they're both great. I love them both. But the I forget which one they were testing, and they brought in vegans. And, Steve, they actually had two or three of them throw up, and that's how they knew they had a home run.
Right.
Because they were so convinced of that thing you're talking about, that paranoia.
Be like the person behind the counter. They gave me the wrong patty. There's no way this is a veggie burger.
Yeah. No, it is a godsend. So, I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, we follow Bam and his deal. Have you talked to Bam recently?
I know I have seen Bam fairly regularly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I
follow him. He seems like he's doing pretty well.
It was looking a little bit better recently. I don't know what really is going on with him right now. But, yeah. God, you just want to shake him and be like, dude, nobody goes to rehab by mistake. As a rule of thumb,
yeah.
Nobody winds up in rehab by mistake.
Right. Yeah, like false incarceration or something like that.
Right,
and
I think that it's the person in rehab who feels that they don't belong. They're like, I don't know what I'm doing here, you know? Like, I don't have much of a problem. Those are the people that have the toughest road ahead, you know? Like,
yeah,
and nobody winds up in rehab by mistake seven times.
Right.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, if you think about the history, talk about, you know, there was a time where I would voice a reason coming to you.
Right.
And here you are, and you've successfully done it. But you're right, exactly. My brother has been, I think, 15 years sober, but there was that desire and that to go in. It wasn't like he was dragged kicking and screaming. It was, I need to make change.
Here's how I describe it, and I say this so often, that I'm just intensely grateful that I suffer from alcoholism so acutely.
Yeah.
You know, like I just had it so bad that I got to a point where my behavior, my drinking and using, it urgently had to stop. It could not continue with where I was at.
Right.
You know, because I just had it. Like, it was so stark, so black and white, and it needed to be addressed, and thank God it did. And now I've got all this time under my belt where I've been largely focused on what I want to be focused on, not distracted, not loaded, you know, like, and I've been, like, very productive, and I almost feel like... Like it's like cheating, you know. Like I got good at life.
Yeah,
you know?
My brother considers the day he went in. His birthday.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's totally my birthday, and I just think that it's the scariest thing to have alcoholism just badly enough that it can interfere with your relationships and your ambitions and just slow you down, and then the years slip through your fingers because it's not so bad that it has to stop. So it goes on and on until the years turn into decades.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest thing.
As opposed to having it black and white like you, which is like, dude, stop this or you're going
to
die.
I'm just like, thank God I had it so bad, because to just not have it so bad that it has to stop. I mean, look where we are. It's been years turning into decades.
Did the realization when you realized you were doing the right thing happen like immediately, or was it a slow build of, I need to keep on this path? Or was it like, you know what I mean?
When I was ready, I was ready.
Okay.
You know, when I was ready, I was ready, and you know, I made that decision. You know, we talked about making a decision, and I said, okay, here we go.
Yeah. I have to imagine you've over the course of this, did people look at you, and you were probably used as an example. You know, I've never been drunk. I don't drink. I've been all my life, and so there's the interesting part. My brother has this, and I have this way.
Uh-huh.
But I still find what you've gone through inspirational. You've got to have encountered people now who've taken your example. Have you? Have people come to you and said that you served as an inspiration for their sobriety?
I hear that a fair amount.
Yeah.
And,
because you're high profile and you're such a glaring example of what can happen.
Right. I mean, I think it's a little bit, you know.
Without sounding self-serving. I know. Yeah.
Sure. I just, you know. I'm not sure what to say because a lot of the sometimes people say, oh, you know, it's because of you that I got sober.
Yeah.
And I just kind of interpret that to mean, like, okay, maybe it's because of me that they went and found, you know, recovery.
You helped massage it along, if not the main reason, but, you know, sometimes you need a little.
Well, right. I mean, I can jump in here for a second because I'm sober for, you know, 7.5 years. And I just know from my own experience when I saw other people that were clean and sober for a long period of time, I drew strength from that. And so I was lucky enough to meet Trey Anastasio. I like this band called Fish. And the lead guitarist has been clean and sober for a long time. And I ran into his father at the Fish concert over the summer. And I told him, I said, I drew strength from him and his ability to get and then stay sober. And I'm sure that you did the same exact thing.
Right. Now, here's how it works. I would never want to, like, even entertain the idea that I alone have this, like, this influence or this, you know. It's like, what it is that alcoholism, addiction, call it the same thing. You know, 95% of us die loaded. We don't get better.
Right.
And that's 95% of all alcoholics and addicts. They die like loaded of causes related directly to drugs and alcohol. And that's just a fact. That's how it is. And then you look at the 5% of us that actually achieve long-term sobriety, and it's not a roulette wheel. It's not like a rolling dice. It's plain and simple that the 5% of us who do make it are locked arms. That's where it's like the quintessential herd on the safari, you know, like the disease of alcoholism and addiction. It's like the predator. It doesn't want to mess with the herd. Mm-hmm. It wants the one that walks away from the pack. Think, oh, I don't need to be a part of this pack. I'm going to walk. And then you walk away from the pack and whoom, it gets you.
No, you're right.
So like the idea of being resistant. Oh, no, like I don't want to be a part of that recovery community. I don't want to talk about sobriety all the time. It's like, all right. You're wandering away from the pack and you're going to get picked off by the disease. Like, we lock arms and we stick together and we stay together, and that's how we stay sober.
It's a great analogy. Steve-O is here. If you're just joining us, going to be at a Helium Comedy Club. So you've a good part of your life has been filmed.
Yeah.
and then
I
some.
Love that I haven't even bothered telling you guys about why I'm here.
you don't even have to. You're sold out.
Well, I do have some tickets on Thursday, and not even for the award, for the, you know, I'm not even concerned about selling the tickets, but I would love to tell you what it's about. But
yeah, we're going to get, yeah, please.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if a lot of that time being filmed, you were loaded, you know.
Uh-huh.
Is it hard for you to go back and see scenes of yourself when you were?
That, you know, there was this documentary that we made, like, when I turned 1 year sober.
Demise and Rise?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be very careful about putting that out because I felt, you know, people who really like sort of wave their, you know, the flag and, you know, like there's almost, it's kind of very slippery. So I brought somebody who had at the time like 18 years of sobriety, real sobriety, someone who I really trusted to come in to watch an early edit, like a, you know, a, like the very first draft of that documentary about me. And I wanted them to sort of scan it to make sure that from the sense of like the traditions that everything was appropriate and that I wasn't crossing any lines about like how to address sobriety in the media. And that person said, yeah, there's no issues with it. But what I didn't see coming is that when we walked out of that little edit bay, having seen that footage, it was so counterintuitive. I had this intense craving, like this. I felt so much like I wanted to get loaded.
Yeah.
Which I say is counterintuitive because to present me with footage, it was like the most humiliating footage of me that really exists.
That's interesting.
You would think that to see that would make me think, oh my God, like thank God I'm sober. I don't want to ever be like that ever again. But it was totally the opposite. My experience was that when I saw the footage of the drugs themselves, that it, like, my synapses in my brain started firing. Like, I could taste it.
Yeah, they know that path. Yeah.
I could taste it. I could smell it. It just planted me into that whole thing. And it was just, like, I was fired up, like, craving drugs so much. And, like, to the point of how embarrassing the footage was, It's like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed by that. Like, let me get loaded to get my mind off of it, you know? Like, let me go right back to it. So it's just the insanity of the disease. And I determined from that point that I just had no business watching that.
Okay.
So,
all right. That makes sense.
That documentary came out with me having... I didn't know what came out.
Yeah. It came out great, though. It was a riveting documentary, I'll tell you that.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I went on to watch it many years later, and it was just as bad as I thought it was.
I thought it was really...
Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
A real honest thing. Sure.
Obviously, your perspective. You were the guy. It's going to be a lot different.
Yeah. And I'm fine. I'm fine with it now. Yeah. But yeah, I don't really try to dwell too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why are you here? Why did you want to touch on that?
It's just that this new tour that over the 9 years that I've been touring these comedy clubs, my worlds have kind of converged. You know, there was the first show I did, which was pure stand up, and I would do some tricks at the end of the show. Then there was the second show I put together touring with, which would have been the last time I was here. And that one, I got so excited when it occurred to me that all of the stories I was telling throughout the act were largely things that happened on camera. So I thought, oh my God, what if I do this next comedy special where we film the stand-up but edit into, after the fact, cut in the footage to illustrate the stories.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, like, that's wild.
Really exciting. Yeah, yeah. So I did that, and it went so great. And then I determined that for my new tour that I don't want to be living in the past anymore. You know, I like going down memory lane. It's just kind of depressing to think, what am I going to spend the rest of my life like rehashing my glory days?
Right.
And so I thought, okay, well, here's how I want to approach it. I want to do like all new stuff, like create new stories. But what's left to do? We've done so much. And I just knew, I call it my bucket list because I had these ideas that I've been sitting on forever, and they were never supposed to happen. Like, for example, skydiving came up over the years, you know, over the last 20 years. I always said the same thing. I said, like, everybody does that. I'm not wasting my time skydiving. Like, that's not a stunt. Everyone does it. For me to do it, I said, because the first time you have to have a dude strapped on your back.
Oh, no.
I'm going to be butt naked and furiously servicing myself.
Oh, my
Such that when I passed the point of no return with a dude on my back, and it was
how'd that go?
How can you even do that?
There's so many layers to it.
To find
the company that's willing to put their company logo on that, you know, to find the guy who's willing to be strapped on my back, to be able to, sorry for the pun, but to pull it off.
Yes.
In an airplane packed with dudes pointing cameras at me.
I got to know if you can do this, because one time we did a stunt. We had an intern. We had a tandem jump. And the whole idea was, after the chute was deployed, for him to pee from like 2,000 feet up. And we had him drink a bunch of water beforehand.
You got pee shot.
He could not do it. He could. That's just peeing.
Right. And like everything, like, yeah. I was peeing white.
So you already did this?
Yeah. And I screamed. Geez. Now, here's the way that this show that I'm doing now works. And it's so exciting. You would think I got into stand-up to find a career with more longevity.
Yeah.
But, like, I did entirely the opposite. Now I'm like, okay, I'm in my 40s. This is like the first joke I say, thanks for coming out to support me during this difficult time. You know, I'm in a real jam over here. I'm Steve-O in my 40s, and it can only.
But
I'm running out of time before it gets creepy to watch me do these things. So I decided I gotta hurry up and I gotta like go all out and really raise the bar. And so the whole show is a journey through this absurd bucket list of Jackass stunts.
Yeah, to imagine what a cast member, specifically you, would have in a bucket list.
Right.
It's almost like you don't even want to go there.
It's I mean, I, rather than call it the bucket list, I could have called it the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
After each bit in the show, I screen the footage of the events taking place. So it's fully multimedia.
It plays like a
Jackass movie premiere and a stand-up show.
That's awesome.
And then with the whole meet and greet with the whole audience after.
Are you still filming these, or have you done all of your...
I mean, for this show's locked. Yeah,
okay.
This show's locked. There's 8 videos in the show. show, and they're all high level.
That's awesome.
I mean, was wondering, because you're in town a couple days early. I didn't know if you were going to try and knock one out while you were here.
I've been really active with all the digital stuff.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, following you on social media, you're always putting... So that's saying the Steve-O legacy is 2.0, 3.0, whatever we're at. There's a whole bunch of new... engaging entertainment. You've reinvented yourself while keeping the core there, and it's very interesting, very engaging, always entertaining. So,
yeah. I appreciate that so much. And coming here has always been such a treat, man.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Oh, good. Well, what's funny is we have to wrap this interview up because we're literally going to interview a guy who wrote a biography about Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
I was fighting back the tears watching that documentary.
It's so good.
I mean, I was poorly fighting back the tears, if I'm honest.
No, we were just talking about how great it is.
We got it. Every time you're here, we got to see your back tattoo.
Yeah.
Can you pull that? I want to see that.
I got to do that trick for you,
too. Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's going to do a trick for us.
Yeah.
For those who may not know Steve-O and you're new to him, his entire back is his himself, is his face. I gotta hang on.
That is awesome.
It's the greatest. Awesome.
Who was the autograph on the bottom? I forget.
Just the greatest.
Yeah, the autograph is mine.
That's okay. It says, dude, I rock. And it says Steve-O.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
my God.
If there are any some tickets available?
But yeah, we added a show for Thursday.
Right.
I know it's Halloween, but. I promise I won't let anybody down. This show is so explosive. Yeah. I'm actually just gripped with fear about how I'm going to follow it up with the next iteration of my tour.
My guess is you'll do just fine.
I actually think so, too.
You know, it's wild because we have top-level comedians that come through regularly, and a lot of times they don't sell out. And your show's just... Dude, people love you.
It's, you know what? I can't even express the gratitude that I have to be almost an entire decade removed from any, like, real mainstream commercial success. I mean, we haven't had a Jackass movie since 2010.
Yeah.
And when I started touring the comedy circuit and the comedy clubs, Jackass 3D was still in theaters, and people just didn't want to see Steve-O do stand-up.
Yeah.
I had a movie in theaters that was killing it in the box office, and I couldn't sell out the tiniest comedy club. And now, a decade removed from commercial success,
it's amazing.
I'm adding shows everywhere, and it's just because I care about what I'm doing in these comedy clubs, and
Well, people like...
I'm going for it.
You give it your all.
I'm going for it, too.
You're a good man.
People
like to support you and what you do. You've always been very cool with us, and it's great to see you here doing so well.
Hey, I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you.
All right, some tickets left for Thursday night, heliumcomedy.com. It's Steve-O. Thanks, man. Appreciate you being here. Steve-O, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Yes, we will have author Gavin Edwards, who wrote Kindness and Wonder, Why Mr. Rogers Matters More Than Ever, when we return. Stay with us.
Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger beginning Monday, December 2nd at Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you go. Your donation goes towards foods that fill abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We have another guest who's standing by, so we're going to get right back into things. Let's take a look at traffic, though. Kath is out today, so Marissa is handling those studios. What's going on, Marissa? Did I say studios?
I don't know.
Yeah, daddy-o.
I don't know. Jesus. They got a nice cereal.
Okay. Hey, can we do traffic afterwards? Because our guest is we don't have a whole lot of time with him.
All right, we'll do that then.
Yeah.
Our next guest is the author of a book called Kindness and Wonder, Why Mr. Rogers Matters More. Please welcome to the show, Gavin Edwards.
Yay.
Hey, Gavin, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Preston. Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Well, you were supposed to say it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
But I thought maybe he would take the bait, too.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll let you slide on that one.
That's the movie that's actually coming out on November 22nd. But listen, so Gavin, you've... you've worked on real life people, and you're an author. You've written several books, but you have covered people in the world of entertainment before. I know you wrote The Tao of Bill Murray.
Yes.
Why Mr. Rogers? Why did you focus in on this gentleman?
You know, I look for people who I feel like, you know, are not just, you know, sort of like actors, musicians, like doing a job and like a, but people who are actually, you know, sort of presenting them their real selves and like changing the world. And, you know, sort of like nobody did that more than Fred Rogers. Like it was one of the amazing things that, you know, sort of like people responded to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and it wasn't a part he put on. He was this guy who deeply, deeply cared about children and spent his whole life just trying to make the world a better place.
You know, it's funny because over the course of his life and the show and all that stuff, you know, you always think, oh, when's the thing going to come out about Mr. Rogers? When's that thing going to come out?
Right.
It never came. All and in the book, yeah, and obviously all the stuff and the documentary and the Tom Hanks film that's coming out, you're exactly right. He is what he portrayed himself as, and there are so many moments that back that up, anecdotal things that just reinforce what he was. But his own childhood was rather sort of a lonely childhood, he had said. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, he grew up, he was rich, you know, sort of like very wealthy family in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. But he was very isolated. He was chubby. He was asthmatic. He was awkward. And so he just kind of had this like lonely childhood, like alone in his attic playing with his puppets. And, you know, like I think that's part of why he responded so strongly for his entire life. If he was ever like out at a big fancy lunch or something and he sees that there's like a kid standing awkwardly in the corner, he will drop whatever like conversation he's having, like could be with like the governor of the state, and he's going to go over and get down on one knee and talk to that kid and make sure the kid is okay.
Gavin, did he have any kids of his own? I really don't know much about of his personal life as an adult. You know, I mean, you hear a little bit about his childhood growing up and then creating the show, but what about outside of that? Did he have any family?
Sweetheart, and they had two boys who are obviously full-grown men now, and, you know, sort of, as far as I can tell, he was the most amazing father in the world when they're younger, and just sort of like, you know, it's like kind of, he was made to be a dad of like sort of like a preschooler with like puppets and so on. But he was so gentle and kind that like when they got older and, you know, like maybe they're getting a little rebellious, he's not good at being a disciplinarian. So, you know, like his wife had to handle that part.
Well, right. There were, now, so, and what happens is, and a lot of people, you know, and it happens with people of this stature where they sort of get, you know, they seem to be without warts, and not that he did, but he was a normal, regular person. And there was a story, I don't know if this is true or not, that is at one point he discovered that his son was growing pot in the basement. Is that true, or is that just one of the many?
That is true.
That is
true. Discovered a grow lab in the basement, and he was not happy.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you can imagine, like, both as a parent feeling like, hey, this is, like, a bit beyond the pale, and also just saying, if this becomes, like, a headline, you know, sort of like, you know, pot bust in Mr. Rogers' house, it really kind of destroys his life's work.
Right, so. But it didn't, yeah.
Well, in the book, are we, do you go through some of his philosophies? I mean, clearly he was all about treating children, speaking to them plainly, and making sure that they understand that they're special. That was the focus of I think the entire show is you, the individual. You are someone special. You are unlike anyone else, and you matter. But what are some of the other philosophies that he lived by that maybe we can glean from this to incorporate in our own lives?
Sure. Well, I mean, so actually the whole second half of the book is talking about, you know, sort of like what lessons do we learn from Mr. Rogers? And some of it is, you know, sort of connect with people every other way you can. You know, like for him, it was always about communication. And if, you know, like somebody doesn't understand what you're saying, like, you know, listen to them and then find another way to talk to them. You know, another one is make a joyful noise, which for him meant music, you know, sort of like, and it doesn't matter how much musical ability you have, but it's like a wonderful thing just to like bring like light and music into the world.
He wrote all the music for the show, correct? Or he wrote all, he was a composer.
Hundreds of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my great pleasures to the book was talking with Rita Moreno, who like appeared on the show and sang one of his songs. And she's like, they're pretty songs. You know, like, this is what they're supposed to be. They're not sort of like fancy torch songs, but like they do exactly the job that they're supposed to. And then maybe the number one thing he said was just be deep and simple. It's like much better to like dig in somewhere and care deeply about something and really connect with people rather than, you know, sort of like have like to cover yourself like, you know, an inch thick everywhere.
You know, it's interesting, and I wonder if you experience this too, Gavin, when you're researching or talking to people that, I mean, even in watching the trailer, even in thinking about it now, I get a little misty. I get a little weepy. And I think that part of it might be because it's just so hard to believe that someone is so pure and genuine and good intentioned that it kind of makes us happy and sad at the same time. And did you find people that experienced that?
Absolutely. I mean, I mentioned that I'm doing this book, and it's like people's faces get lit up in soft focus. Mm-hmm. And I think the part of it is, you know, sort of like we all return to that, like, innocent time of, even if you don't have conscious memories, you know that like there was an age when, like, you know, Mr. Rogers really cared about you and that meant the world to you. And you're going back to what feels like innocence of your own life, but it also contrasts to, like, you know, the world. It's not just that you've gotten older and, you know, sort of, you know, you understand how things work better, but like the world has gotten nastier. Like, people are ruder, people are more cynical. And it feels like just, you know, he's a huge corrective to, like, the way things are in modern culture.
Yeah, and we need it now more than ever. I think about Mr. Rogers and really how far ahead of his time he often was. And specifically, one of the examples that comes to mind is race relations. And when he had Officer Clemens on, Francois Clemens, on the show with him, the visual imagery of the two men putting their feet in a pool was so stark and... it was remarkable that he was able to do this at a time when race relations were not very good in this country. He made a statement, and he did it in a really kind and subtle way. Can you speak to that about at all, Gavin?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was he did that at a point where, you know, like, especially in the South, you know, like, many swimming pools and swimming facilities were segregated, and so, you know, he doesn't like beat kids over the head with this. He doesn't say, this is why I'm doing this and this is my protest for it. He just says, you know, sort of like, I'm going out in the front yard. It's a hot day and I'm going to, like, put my feet in the pool. And hey, look, here's Officer Clemens. And so it's in a way where kids can understand it, that, you know, sort of like, and he always was trying to find, you know, sort of like, how do you explain things to kids? In that case, it's, you know, sort of like, all right, there's racial prejudice. I'm going to do what I can. There's been assassinations of, you know, sort of like Robert Kennedy and
right.
other people. I'm going to sit down and, like, talk with parents. They're like, here's how you can talk with your kids. And, you know, sort of like, here's, like, a metaphor of, like, air going out of a balloon that, like, explains it a little bit. But it was always about, you know, and one of his most famous pieces of wisdom is, you know, there's always going to be upsetting stuff on the television. And when you see, like, burning buildings or a plane crash, look for the helpers. And, you know, sort of, it was something his mother told him. There's always going to be somebody at the site of, like, something awful happening who's trying to help other people.
It's wonderful because we're looking at the iconic, you know, the house and the backyard, and the fence is lined with large pot plants, which I think is so. But dispel this or verify it. It's the case of putting on sneakers when he came into the house was more a product of the fact that his regular shoes made too much noise on the studio floor.
Right. That was. But then he learned the value of ritual. Like, so many of the things that he did at the beginning were just, you know, like, he knows that, you know, like, kids want to see him, like, zip up the sweater and do that. And everything was, like, simplified something that, like, the TV, the sneakers came from, well, he had made learned this from doing TV shows before. The sweaters came from his mother. Like, you know, she knitted them every year. Like, they were actual, like, sweaters that his mother had knitted for him. He would walk left to right because he was subtly teaching kids how to read. And he's saying, like, okay, I'm not going to drill letters and numbers like Sesame Street, but just all the action always happens left to right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was very, very thoughtful in a way that went totally over your head when you're 7 years old, and yet was totally fundamental.
Wow. Excellent. Well, great work, Gavin. The book, Kindness and Wonder, Why Mr. Rogers Matters Now More Than Ever, is on sale today. So good luck with everything, Gavin. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate
it. Thanks very much. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Absolutely. Gavin Edwards, yeah. guys.
This neighborhood, yep. a beautiful day for a neighbor.
When the scene from the trailer, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. When they're all singing the song on the subway.
It's great.
Oh, my God.
And he screams, knock it off.
Shut up.
Shut up!
I'm trying to live my life here.
I live outside of that. I'm trying to conduct a life.
I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood.
God damn it!
So let's make the most
Won't
of
you
this.
Leave
trying
me.
To take a mass transit together, ride.
Might as well say.
Do I bring your work around behind you all day and go accounting, accounting, accounting? Leave me alone.
Please.
New York City subway, where they will ignore everything.
Right.
And you
yeah.
focus in on me.
On me. I actually did. There were a couple of interesting little known facts about, and these are true, about Rogers. Do you want a few of them?
Hang on a minute. I'm absolutely going completely against type and just rages on the subway.
It just goes nuts. Enough!
All right, what's the information?
So he was an ordained minister.
Okay.
Had a music degree. His mother did knit all of his sweaters. Michael Keaton's first on-air, on-camera gig was as a purple panda on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's from Pittsburgh. Yep. And that's where they filmed it, yeah.
Ah. And also because of that Pittsburgh connection, he hired those little films where Mr. Rogers goes and watches how ice cream is made.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the early people who directed those was George Romero, Night of the Living
what?
Dead.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. That's right. I forgot he Pittsburgh. Would have these little cutaway yeah. movies yeah. about how things were made or what someone does on a specific kind of job or something
and
like
it was,
that.
So a young George Romero was doing a lot of those.
Is it true that he was the first person ever on camera to do a Pittsburgh platter?
He did, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I thought so.
No, but I remember the...
That's kind of stinky.
I remember the trolley... I always wanted to be able to
oh my
and,
God.
And that would go into the land of make-believe. Yeah. So it would go through that little tunnel, and it would disappear, and it would come out on the other side. And it was another set, and they had all of the...
This isn't the land of make-believe. It's the New York subway system. Leave me alone! When we come out, we're going to be in Penn Station, and they're going to be able to leave all you losers!
There's a museum out there in La Trobe where you can go see all these set pieces, you know,
no.
in the pets. Yeah, so there was a document, or maybe it was a promo for the documentary. Anyway, I saw a video a few weeks ago, and you can go out and see Lady Elaine and see the castle and see all of these things that are still in existence.
The actual set pieces?
The actual set pieces,
I have to go there.
Yeah, La Trobe.
How far is La Trobe from here?
It's just outside of Pittsburgh, so probably 3.5, 4 hours, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But well worth the trip.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and the ones I remember, the only name I remember... Is Lady Elaine,
Mr. Feely?
Daniel
well, no,
the tiger.
from the land of make
believe. Oh, okay,
yeah.
So
King Friday, Daniel
King
the tiger.
King Friday, that was it.
And they were all voiced by Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, yeah. And who was the
Chaka
cat?
Khan?
Chaka Khan. Oh, Daniel the tiger, not Chaka Khan.
Daniel the tiger.
Yeah. Yeah, he was his little shy.
That would say Mew Mew.
Yeah,
every time he spoke,
they were all sort of facets of Mr. Rogers' personality.
Don't you say anything else?
So when he was kind of high and mighty, he'd be King Friday. When he was shy and scared, he'd be Daniel the Tiger. Lady Elaine was sort of his trampish side. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one she was, but
I feel horny.
Yeah. Lady Elaine was kind of scary.
She was, yeah.
She was strict,
and she lived in a museum, it was a
whorehouse.
It was like a carousel, but that was a museum. Or something like that,
yes.
Or
yeah.
I'd have to go back and research.
Chaka Khan!
Chaka Khan.
That was startling.
Member of the land of make believe.
Chaka Khan!
I love that trolley. I love that the idea that it would go, you know.
Yeah.
And he did the voices of all the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that show Kidding on Showtime, it is obviously loosely based on Mr. Rogers, because they're, you know, during the course of that interview that we did, these little tidbits of information that you guys threw out there about Fred, I was like, okay, that's kind of a storyline in that show Kidding.
Dealing with death, dealing with adult topics.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The son with pot and... Yeah.
So I'm looking at the picture of Lady Elaine. I know, you know, she was scary looking. She had like that Punch and Judy type of style
yeah.
of a...
She was clearly an alcoholic because she had rosacea.
Those busted corpuscles on her nose.
I drink a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, she was scary looking. This is before your time, though, Marissa, right?
Yeah, but I watched reruns of it. Yeah, it was always on HYY.
We were watching, the trailer came on, and my daughter had said something about Mr. Rogers. To be honest, I didn't even know she knew who Mr. She's 12 years old. I didn't know she knew who Mr. Rogers was. But she did say, you know, he was before my time, but I know who he is.
Yeah, I revisited. You know? Honestly, I was before, I mean, well, I was older, you know, so that was not the stuff that was appealing to me. And then I revisited the Mr. Rogers thing and then grew an appreciation after the fact. And then learning about him, you know, being true to that this wasn't, a lot of times not to draw a horrible thing, but one of the most beloved children's entertainers in England turned out to be a raging pedophile.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I guess a lot of times you're always waiting for the dam to burst on the people that you love who have, but Mr. Rogers was everything you believed him to be. He was, you know, a sniper. No, he was just a great guy.
Well, and now Daniel Tiger has his own spinoff series. So Daniel Tiger is an animated show, and he's like a trolley driver. And so he drives the trolley.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Hang on a second. Somebody commenting about the Michael Keaton appearance. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you? Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
Hey, quick thing. Just to let you know, my 9-year-old grandma is still alive and well. She won second place. She was the Silver Fox, and I think she's...
Oh, and the Granny Grand Prix.
Oh, that's awesome.
So she's still kicking. But anyways, yeah, I was... I think it was on Hulu, the documentary, but I remember my wife and I were watching it, and... you know, they don't even make comment of it, but, you know, they just show the background, the stagehands, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, look, that's Batman. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, we're not even watching freaking Batman. I'm like, that's Michael Keaton. So, of course, I looked it up, and, you know, I heard Steve mention it. But, yeah, you actually see him, you know, in the background just helping out, and it's like, wow, it's like even Batman has a second job.
Yeah, well, he actually, there was another thing that was one of those little-known facts, is that though Rogers himself would not curse Mr. Rogers, occasionally he would let the puppets, when he was doing the puppets between takes, he would have them curse.
Oh, he would?
Yeah.
Now, Henrietta, that's the one I was thinking of, Nick. Henrietta Pussycat that says meow, meow all the time. Every other word is like meow.
Talk about a contortion of beloved childhood things. Did you see the Sci-Fi channel has this Banana Splits horror movie?
I remember hearing about it, but I didn't know.
It was on last night. I was watching it, and Charles, our belly flop challenge winner, Charles Lance.
Sassy.
Yeah, he is Sassy. He'd mentioned it and turned me on to it, and they're using the Banana Splits, and it's a graphic horror movie on Sci-Fi. It's pretty funny.
Hang on a second. We're getting some calls of people who've had a connection with Mr. Rogers and the show and everything. I'm going to go to Ray. Hi, Ray. Good morning.
Good morning. First time, long time.
Awesome, buddy. Welcome. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to tell you guys, probably about 25-some years ago, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, and I delivered photocopiers for a company back in Pittsburgh, and I actually delivered a copier to the WQED, the main branch in Pittsburgh. And this is obviously long before everybody has a camera on their cell phone, but walked right through the set of the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood.
You know, when it was actively filming, you walked onto that set.
No, if they weren't filming at the time, but we had to walk through.
Being used for pornos.
No, I didn't mean while they were. I mean, was the show still on at that time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I didn't mean they were creating the show at the time, but while it was active, you actually saw the set.
Here's a photocopy.
Salesman is welcome, neighbor.
Ruining my shot. Insufferable bastard.
Yeah, we had to walk through the set to get to the elevator to go up to the main floor where all the offices were, and actually delivered the copier to right outside Fred Rogers' office.
Mr. Rogers, oh, good for you!
That must have been kind of surreal, right, Ray?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I grew up watching him, and to be there on walking through the set, it was cool.
Nice.
God, that
nice.
You, those, thanks, I mean, Ray. Those shows, a lot of the shows are animated, so you can't, you know, that you grew up on. But could you imagine walking through what would be the equivalent, you know,
Sesame Street?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, to actually be on that set would be pretty damn amazing.
Like the Captain Noah. When Mrs. Noah came in the studio, I lost my breath.
So not being from the area, but realizing the importance of how, you know, Captain Noah was. Yeah, that'd be exactly the same thing.
Oh, my God. I'm going to bring this up now. Who do we have here the other day?
Larry, we're talking about Larry Ferrari?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, who was here? Who mentioned him?
It was a Philly guest. Man, I can't remember yesterday.
Anyway, it was, what was his name? Larry Ferrari?
Yeah, the piano player.
Okay, so I wasn't familiar with this guy, Steve.
Oh, no kidding.
Nick had left. Yeah, I didn't grow up here.
Yeah.
It was back in the 1970s, 80s, I guess.
Yeah, it was definitely in the 80s.
So, was it Frank Stallone?
It was Frank Stallone.
Yeah. Okay. So you go, wow, what a Philly reference. Right. And so we got done with the segment, and I asked you about it, and I'm like, well, let me go over here to YouTube real quick. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Larry Ferrari.
Do you know the story about this guy?
I heard just through you and you guys talking here, yeah.
So he would apparently, it was a Sunday morning program, and it was Larry and his organ. I mean, like one of those, you know, one-touch organs like you'd have at home, makes all kinds of, you know, little, rhythmic sounds that can go along with it. And actually it wasn't. His was a B3. I'm sorry. Yeah. Somebody had texted me about that or emailed that. It was a B3 organ, a Hammond. And he just plays along the song, Steve. And they do these sweeping shots in and out. He's got the little candelabra there. He's got really bad 1970s hair. I was laughing my ass off. Now, listen, I'm sure it was just tradition here.
Yeah.
And that was on if you wanted it on Sunday mornings, if you wanted to put on. But you look back now, it's goddamn hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely hilarious.
First of all, thank God for YouTube to be able to watch these types of things. Second of all, I believe they shot it right down the street at 6ABC, and it was on around the same time slot as Al Albers.
I think it ran right after.
All right, Albers would go first, and then Ferrari or vice versa. And Al Albers was also a Philly institution for a long, long time. I went and saw a taping of Al Albers at the Cedarbrook Country Club.
Really?
For me, Steve, it was like meeting Carson.
Sure.
You know, I'm like 8 years old, and I'm in the audience, and you got dressed up to go see Al Albers.
Yeah.
And it was one of these things that was akin to Mr. Rogers.
Now, mind you, all major metropolitan areas had stuff like
for
this.
For sure.
In that era growing up. They had the local people who did these shows.
Now,
absolutely.
I was familiar up in New York with Al Albers for some reason. I don't know why I was,
but
I was.
It may have been syndicated.
It might have been syndicated. Yeah. There was a show with Bob McAllister called Wonderama. Do you remember that?
No.
That ended up being syndicated, I think, down here at some point. But, yeah.
I'm so glad you brought up Al Albers. When I was a little girl, I used to walk on the New Jersey Ocean City Boardwalk with my grandmother, and we would walk past Sea Oats, and I would see those little pageant dresses, and I dreamt that one day I could get one of those dresses and be on stage with Al Albers at the Ocean City Musical.
Cut
that was a dream.
You, years later, flashing from pot at a Creed concert.
It's the best I could do, Steve.
Wow. But I was cracking up watching him just sitting there, just smiling
away. I love
away,
that stuff.
Playing organ.
That's of a time.
Yeah.
But because honestly, that is so... But you know, you'll find little things like the Chocolate Rain was the equivalent on YouTube of, but you get him here and there.
Yeah.
But things like he clearly, watching the video, that was a thing.
It probably ran for decades, right?
Yeah. Or at least a decade. I don't know anybody my age that actually sat and watched it for as many Sundays as Larry Ferrari played on TV. I maybe collectively watched about 5 minutes.
Well, back-to-back texts came in, Casey, and this is what my childhood was. We would watch Larry Ferrari every Sunday with my grandfather. The one right before that, I watched it with my grandmother. And when I would stay over at my grandparents' house, that's what we would watch on Sunday morning. So we'd get up, watch Al Albers. Yeah. And there was something about Larry Ferrari that was sort of, and I told this to Preston last week, it was kind of like Lawrence Welk-ish.
Yeah.
There was this aspect of him, it was cheesy and hokey, but entertaining. So you'd kind of get sucked in by that aspect of it.
Yeah, Lawrence Welk was oh my God, that freaking... Do you remember Lawrence
Welk? Oh, dear
Ladies
Lord.
And gentlemen, one, two, three, and hear us Indiana John will dance to the... Holy hell, it was horrifying.
Yep, I agree. The outfits are terrible. Yeah. It's the hair, the styles of the 70s were atrocious. I'm going to go to Heather. Hi, Heather, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Heather?
My parents actually danced on that show for Larry when he would play on Sunday mornings.
So they would come out as a couple and dance, say, a foxtrot or something like that?
Yeah, they were part of a group that did Victorian dances.
Okay.
And so the whole group would go out there and dance.
Wow.
And they would, you know, twirl around while he was playing the piano in the middle. And they did. I look back at the video now. I have VHS tapes of it. And they are pretty cheesy, but they really enjoyed it.
And were they regulars on there?
They were on probably 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
And I think probably late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. All right.
Would he speak? Would Larry Ferrari speak?
Yeah, he would address the audience, but mostly it was just singing and organ playing.
Oh, he would sing too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, no, I just saw the instrumental organ stuff.
Like cheesy lounge singer style, but there was something that was so cheesy about it, it made it not cheesy.
Here, if you want to hear some of what he sounds like, it's
he's good. Doesn't even sound like an organ.
No.
Is he still with us?
No, I don't think Al Albert's, Larry, or Captain No. I think they've all passed.
Yeah, I know Captain No and Al Albert's passed. I wasn't sure.
I think Larry is missing in action. He was.
No, he died in
Vietnam.
He died in November of 1997.
Here's what you call a tunnel rat. They'd hand him a revolver and
just go down in there and. Hang on a second.
Clear that tunnel. There's a whole bunch of Charlie.
Deb has a question. Hey, Deb, good morning.
You cannot talk about all of these local shows without mentioning Gene London.
I don't know who that is.
I remember people talking about Gene London, but I never watched it. But a lot of people are texting in about Gene London as well.
What was his story, Deb?
He had a show where he told stories, and he also would tell stories and do artwork. Like he had a big pad where he would actually, with a marker, draw pictures, and he was a really good artist.
Like a Bob Ross?
No. It was like a flip sheets, and he would just draw with a marker, a black marker, and draw pictures.
Why maybe like caricatures and stuff like that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
And he would tell stories, and kids would be on the show just like some of the other shows.
Yeah, we're looking. Thank you, by the way. We're looking at video, and it looks very Howdy Doody esque. Yeah. The setting does. It's black and white, so it would have been back in the 50s and maybe early 60s or something like that. Let me go next to Glenn. Hey, Glenn. Good morning.
Hey, you guys, rock.
Thanks. What's up, Glenn?
Listen, Casey might remember this: the Bazaar or the Bazaar of All Nations in Clifton Heights. There's an Acme there now.
Yeah.
And a Home Depot. Okay. I used to go to the Bazaar back in the 70s and late 60s, and Al Albers and his wife Stella would be walking around there dressed to the max on a Friday night, say hi to people, shaking hands, and shopping down there.
No kidding. So they were there.
I just bought some tube socks.
Were they there for a personal appearance, or that's just where they went? They wanted to go get some Bernie's pretzels and...
They were walking around shopping and buying cheesecake, if I remember. And
I'm going to go buy some cheesecake.
I'm going to go to the Army Navy store.
They're just like us.
All right.
All my cheesecake is purchased from the Army and Navy store.
At the bazaar. Wow.
I play out. Perhaps you've seen my program on Sunday morning.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm very much would like to see this. This movie, the Mr. Rogers movie. By the way, I had seen there were some interviews over the weekend. I think it was might have been last week, but with this out, and I think Henry Winkler might have a project out. And did you see that he was on? Was it Andy Cohen or something like that? And a caller called in and asked about his feud with Tom Hanks, about Henry Winkler and Tom Hanks.
They have a feud?
Yeah, like a 30-year feud,
a real one?
Yeah.
Yes. I have never heard about this.
Two of the nicest guys in the business hate each other.
Whoa.
And so he addressed it by pretending, like, what are you talking about? You know, he was...
he dismissed it a lot.
Because he had apparently... Henry Winkler was the initial director for Turner and Hooch.
Okay.
And after some time, they let him go. And I think the implication is that Tom Hanks muscled him out of the gig.
No way.
Yeah, for some reason or another, they weren't getting along or whatever.
No, we talked about this. There was an episode of Happy Days where Tom Hanks played a character who had a grudge against Fonzie.
Okay.
And he learned karate and came
I remember
back.
You mentioning that.
And he was running around Arnold's karate chopping the bar.
Yeah.
And all that seemed completely rooted in fact. But, and then, of course, Fonzie, had to do his limited thing. I've never heard of that. You're right.
Yeah,
two of the legendarily nicest guys in Hollywood hate each other.
So they're asking him directly about it, and his comments were like, I loved that dog. it was a great dog. He was avoiding it like that.
Do a quick check, Nick, and see if there is a substantive feud on that.
Well, it's just a rumor.
Yeah.
And so he had, in all sense, kind of concurred that there was a rift, but he's not addressing exactly what happened or why. Wow. Yeah, pretty wild, right?
That is bizarre.
That two guys like that could not find a way to, after all this time, patch it up. So,
well, Regis and Mr. Rogers had a blood feud. I know that.
No. They had a blood feud.
One of these days, I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
People will know the truth.
I guess. Beat him to death with a bag of D's.
Beat him to death with a bag of D's.
In 1993, and it does, it all goes back to Turner and Hooch. In 1993, Winkler says, let's just say I got along better with Hooch than I did with Turner.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it all goes back to, he was on the set for 2 weeks as the director, and they've just never really mended fences.
Yeah.
Wow. That needs never to end. I mean, we need to set the universe right. That needs to be... You can't have the two nicest people in Hollywood at each other's throats.
All right, well, listen, three things here. Number one, it's Tattoos Day today. Text the word tattoo to 39333. See if you can win a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And don't forget, they are in South Philly, 621 South 4th Street. And you can check out our buddy Troy Temple's work if you want to check him out at Troy Temple on Instagram or PhiladelphiaEddie'sTattoo.com. Number two, our friends from Jersey Mike's are here. And I have some gift cards to give away. I will take callers 10 and 11, give you $50 gift cards, 215-263-WMMR. And Jersey Mike's stands for fresh. The Jersey Mike's app is the perfect way to skip the line. So download the app, order ahead, skip the line, and you're on your way. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. And we skipped traffic at the top, so we need to get that now. So let's have Marissa handle that. What's going on, Marissa?
It's actually a mess out there, Preston. I'm just going to do some highlights. 26th Street, south of Pass Yunk, the left lane is blocked from an overturned vehicle, which means that 76 eastbound is jammed from Pass Yunk all the way back to Vare due to this accident. Westbound from Pass Yunk Divine. Also 76 eastbound, there's police activity at Belmont, so it's jammed back to the Blue Route. PA Turnpike, Fort Washington, where an accident is blocking the left lane, jammed back to Norristown. Also slowing from Ben Salem to Mid-County. Callow Hill Street, we have that street is blocked from 6th to 13th all morning long. A tractor trailer is stuck under the overpass between 11th Street and 12th Street. And also SEPTA's regional rails are running with 10 minutes delays. This traffic report is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Get lunch at Whole Foods Market for a limited time. Prime members save $2 per pound at the Hot Bar and Salad Bar weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we're going to take a break. Coming back in a second, some B-File stories I think you will like. We'll get to that in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let us do the Bizarre File.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Davis Hyundai. Get to Davis Hyundai in Ewing, New Jersey, and check out their new vehicles like the Palisade. Davis Hyundai, home of the no payments for a full year. And you can go to DavisHyundai.com. Well, we'll start with this. A K-acre? A
K-acre?
That's for you, Jackie. A kayaker came to the rescue of an 81-year-old woman who drove her SUV off a boat ramp in Venice, Florida, the night before.
Oh, my God.
She stayed in there all night long.
Oh, dear.
Rob Goodman was paddling near a dock when he noticed the front end of a vehicle sticking out of the water. Goodman quickly paddled over, noticed there was a person trapped inside. So immediately called 911.
I think I drove into the water.
While another man who was paddleboarding nearby jumped into the water to help. The two managed to open the door and drag the woman back to the shore.
Don't open the door. You'll get my dress wet.
He said she was wet and cold. I held her like a baby to get some heat on her till rescue got there. Police department posted a surveillance video footage that showed the woman driving into the water and slowly floating for nearly 60 seconds.
God.
Before coming to a stop, the woman told police she was trapped in her car since 10 p.m. and they found her in the morning. Wow. Police did not say what caused the woman to crash into the water. She is in stable condition following the harrowing ordeal.
Fortunately, she had just left the honey-baked ham store.
Oh, yeah. So she had something to eat.
Somebody.
Yeah. A Bronx man was stabbed to death in a bodega during a fight with a deli worker who accused him of shoplifting Thursday afternoon.
I kid you!
Frankie Williams got into the argument with worker Ronnie Torres inside Robinson's Deli. Torres, who had accused Williams of stealing a drink, grabbed a machete during the fight and stabbed Williams several times in his chest and stomach. Killed him.
Whoa.
Williams,
who took a Yoo-Hoo from me.
Whose sources said was a longtime customer of the deli, was rushed to the hospital and pronounced dead.
So he had a machete at the ready. No rhyme intended, but yeah. that's pretty horrific.
Yeah. Torres, who works at the deli and is a relative of the owner, was arrested in the scene. He's charged with murder, straight up murder.
Yeah, maybe you just call the police on that one.
Yeah, before it's shoplifting.
Yeah, murder them with a machete.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's store policy, though. You shoplift and we murder you with a machete.
How about this? In Iowa City, Iowa, library staff at the Iowa City Public Library, they say that they are open and it is welcome to everyone, but some have used that openness to cause disturbances at the library this year. Police charged 5 minors this week after a fight at the library. The charges range from assaulting an officer to trespassing and interference. Now, police, this is what I found interesting. Police have been called to the Iowa City Library 28 times so far this year.
Why?
The library. 28, or more than that, actually. 28 times for theft, 17 times for trespassing, and 8 times for fights at the library.
At the library.
Fight. Yeah. The library has a downtown...
Time for a bouncer.
They have a downtown liaison who frequently stops, but no full-time officer. Rather than beef up security, the director of the library thinks that the community should work together on solutions. Mm-hmm. So, for some reason, that particular library, there's a lot of things going on.
You got to have the bouncer at the front door checking library cards as people go in.
Right.
Right.
A Manhattan makeup artist found some alarming extras, what appeared to be cocaine and a straw to snort it with, when she unpacked a box of beauty supplies from Sephora. Christina Milano, who works at a makeup store, said that she ordered $252 worth of product from the famed French retailer that arrived at her Hoboken home earlier this month.
Please try our new cocaine line.
In addition to a foundation stick, false eyelashes, and other items, the UPS shipment from Baltimore contained a Sephora-branded retractable reel attached to a pair of plastic badge sleeves, one of which had a female employee's company ID. When Milano checked out the second sleeve, which held a forklift operator's card and a photo of a young girl, hidden inside was a dollar bill folded up very nicely. Hmm. And then when I opened it, she said, there was a good amount of what appeared to be cocaine inside. It's not clear what the powder actually was. But
wow.
Also tucked in the sleeve was a short piece of plastic drinking straw with one end cut at 45 degrees. Milano contacted Sephora and sent the company photos of everything she discovered, including a shot showing the powdery white substance and the folded $1 bill. In response, a customer service representative sent her a message assuring her that her company will take the next appropriate steps in their investigation. A follow-up message instructed her, saying, "There's no need to send back the foreign items found in your box. I ask that you dispose of them. Additionally, to apologize for your experience, I've added $100 in online credit to your Beauty Insider account."
Wow.
Milano said the company's response left her a little bit angry. She says it was kind of like, here's $100 and, you know, don't talk about it.
Yeah. She could have sold the Coke for a lot more.
The Sephora worker appears to be a Maryland woman whose Facebook page includes a photo of her posing with several other people, all wearing bright red T-shirts underneath a lighted Sephora sign. And multiple selfies showing her and the girl whose pictures was sent to Milano as well. When the newspaper that reported the story reached out to these people, they said, nope, she doesn't live here anymore. And yes, she has a drug problem. All right. And then we'll do one more story. Police say a woman who was angered when she got kicked out of a Las Vegas area casino intentionally drove her motorhome into the building, injuring a custodian. Mm. I mean, like, she drove it into the building, inside
right.
of it. Police say the 50-year-old woman was ejected from the Cannery Casino Friday morning and drove her Winnebago motorhome into the building. Well, the woman hit a 66-year-old custodial worker who was outside of the building. The worker was critically injured but is expected to survive.
The full motorhome.
Yeah, the woman kept hitting the gas and her vehicle was stuck in the building's entrance, so she had it floored while it was stuck in the entrance.
Oh, my God.
She was pissed.
What a lunatic.
Employees had to remove the woman to get her to stop. They were already at the casino, and they arrested the woman. Her identity was not immediately released.
I've always wanted to live in a casino.
And there you go. That's what's in your bizarre file this morning. All right, let's take a break. And as we do so, I want to give away these movie screening passes because we have this tonight. And I'm going to give away the last of what we have. I think I have 7 of these. Terminator Dark Fate. I got pairs, seven pairs of tickets to give away. It will be at the UA Riverview on Columbus Boulevard, and it'll be in the IMAX Theater. Starts at 7:30. You want to get there by 7 in order to see it. So we'll take seven callers now.
Excellent.
215-263-WMMR, and the movie hits on, November 1st. So you get to see it before it comes out. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back. Lesson question more coming up next.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks. Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Guns N' Roses, Paradise City on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. We have a $500 Steven Singer gift card that we are going to give away for the word of the week. Much easier this week, just it's only going to be four letters. We had a day off yesterday, so sorry about that. But every now and then, we have to just take an extra day. And that's the thing we did, but it makes it easier for you to win. How about that? So we'll get that letter coming up at the end of today's program. Get yourself set. We're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Steely Dan on Friday, November 8th at the Met. They're doing three nights, November 6th, 8th, and 9th. So this show will be for the 8th. Keep that in mind. Some tickets for the 6th and 8th show are still available. The question we're going to go with today, and call if you know, what is the new slogan for the Camp Out for Hunger? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. What is the new slogan for the Camp Out for Hunger? 215-263-WMMR. And if you heard it and you happen to know, then you've got a good shot at winning. So go ahead and give us a buzz. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll get some stories while we're waiting for your phone call. What is up this morning, Steve?
Well, Jonathan Cheban, longtime friend of Kim Kardashian and frequent guest on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, has legally changed his name to Food God. Food God said the name change was important to ensure that there would be three solid reasons for considering him a douchebag. Actress Felicity Huffman, ecstatic to be home after being released from prison on Friday. Still, Huffman is taking things slowly with her kids, noting that when she went into prison, they were 11 days younger.
So, oh, my God.
You've got to adapt. And finally, Taylor Swift and Andrew Lloyd Webber collaborating on a new song for the film adaptation of Cats. In the new song, Rum Tum Tugger will sing disparaging things about Swift's old boyfriends. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, we shall see if we can find an answer for this question. What is the what is the new slogan for Camp Out for Hunger? And I'm going to go to Tim, our first caller. And hey, Tim, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Tim, what's the new slogan for the Camp Out for Hunger?
F hunger in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. F hunger in the butt. Tim, you got it right. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see this band, Steely Dan, Friday, November 8th at the Met Philly, and as part of their epic three-night stand at the Met. And November 6th, 8th, and 9th is when you'll see those. The show on the 9th is sold out, and some tickets for the 6th and 8th are still available via Ticketmaster.com. You get complete details at WMMR.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I have three testicles.
All right, let's start with this. A documentary on the Red Hot Chili Peppers may be in the works. Photographer David Meshuggah had posted a photo on Instagram featuring all four members of the band writing, "Such a rad day previewing our new Chili Peppers documentary."
Totally rad.
And he also shared a birthday message for drummer Chad Smith, who turns 58 on Friday. And then Smith replied, "Thanks, Mush. You're the best. Excited to show the world." So this leads us to believe that most likely there is a doc coming out. Meshuggah, again, has posted numerous behind-the-scenes photos and videos of the Chili Peppers on his Instagram in the past few weeks. It's not exactly clear what kind of documentary this might be, a concert film, look at the making of the new album, or something else. There will likely be a concert element to the film, since Meshuggah had thanked Smith for, quote, letting me sit next to you on stage all the time. Chili Peppers have rumored to be at work on a new album, which would follow up 2016's The Getaway. In the meantime, Flea, who recently got married, is about to release his memoir called Acid for the Children, and that's on November 5th. Breaking Benjamin will release a new album titled Aurora, and that's coming up January 24th, and the disc features reimagined versions of the band's biggest and most popular songs. Breaking Benjamin leader Ben Burnley had said they're all acoustic. They all have orchestration on them, like full orchestra. And then there's four that have guest vocals. And it's really, really amazing. So they did so good, he said. And the special guests include Saint Asonia's Adam Gontier, ex-Flyleaf singer Lacey Strum, Cold frontman Scooter Ward.
Wow.
And Michael Barnes from the band Red.
That's a who's who of who the hell are they?
They will be, Breaking Benjamin will also be co-headlining a 24-city tour with Korn, and tickets go on sale this Friday. They will be in our area in Allentown at the PPL Center on January 23rd, by the way. Highly Suspect has released a new song. It's called Canals, and it's from its upcoming third album, MCID.
Is it about the canals of Mars?
No, I don't.
Damn it.
I don't think so.
I took a guess.
Singer and guitarist Johnny Stevens said last week in an interview that the track was, quote, the best rock song you've ever heard in your entire life.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah? So it's a bit of a bold statement, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a listen to it in a second. Give me a second there, Preston. I'll let you know when we're ready.
You just do a radio show or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so you mean you're going to play it on the air right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how good we are.
We are that good.
All right. It's called Canals.
Okay.
No, I'll go ahead and wait for you.
All right.
Right on WMR.com.
If
it
is? Oh, yeah.
We learned it's about the canals of Mars. All right. Exciting now. Now the anticipation is building. I can feel, actually, I have a little agita right now.
Should. Any
here we go.
Reflux.
All right. So just be careful because it has explicit lyrics. I don't have the safer radio version. Here we go.
This is the best rock song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Bitch, you look so damn freak. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't speak. You can't scream that on our radio show. But go to PrestonSteve.com to hear the rest.
That was not the best rock song I've ever heard. It had a dirty word in it.
I was trying to look up the lyrics, and I couldn't even do it fast enough before they dropped a big old fat F-bomb.
According to a statement issued by the band, MCID is based on inconceivable true life experiences and perceptions narrated by frontman Johnny Stevens.
What?
He said the themes include self-loathing, substance abuse, image issues, addressing my past and changing future with a sprinkle of anti-Trump, false social media worship, heartbreak, hope, depression, and suicide. There are also a few references to the pressures of fame and how I won't play into it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a toe tapper.
Sure does.
MCID.
Great for parties.
Is out this Friday. The lead single from...
It's the new Baby Shark.
From the set, the new guitar-free 16 went to number one at rock radio charts last week. Ozzy Osbourne's new studio album will be released in January, according to his wife, Sharon. She announced the news during an interview in response to a question about her husband's health. She said he's getting there.
He's getting better.
He had a very, very bad accident this year, but he's getting there. He's just finished an album, and the album is coming out in January. And he's doing good. He's very excited about the duet that he did with Post Malone and also Travis Scott. It's doing great.
Didn't we hear a little bit of that Post Malone thing?
We did.
It's actually pretty good.
It is. Hmm.
And then the last story I have for you, the massive success of Bruce Springsteen's Springsteen on Broadway did not carry over to the opening weekend for the boss's big screen concert film, Western Stars. The Hollywood Reporter posted that the film raked in a paltry $530,000 from 537 screens over the weekend, or 537 theaters, I should say, with an average of $1,000.42 per theater.
It was a bomb.
With the addition of the two nights the movie played via Fathom events, all told, Western Star Stiffed earning only $1 million at the box office.
What is the concept of the movie again? Do we know?
It's him playing some songs that it looks like he's in like a club. And in between the songs, telling stories, and they're not just right there in the club, like he's out driving around.
Right here, man.
Stuff like that.
You know what the difference is, though? It's new material versus old material.
This is where I first met Captain Noah.
The Broadway stuff, people went to because they were familiar with it.
Right.
That's a good point, yeah. And, you know, the Hollywood Reporter commented, you know, basically this is for his diehard fans. And yeah. They'll go see it because you're right, yeah.
It's where they shot Ghostbusters.
It's not tried and true. you know, songs that have stood the test of time.
Right. You were setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in music news. Yes.
I would like to point out that today is a special day, Preston.
Oh,
I'm
ready.
The 11-year anniversary of the Phillies winning the World Series. And as a consequence, it's the 11-year anniversary of this particular.
They did it!
That happened
11 years ago today.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is that in Bruce's documentary?
That is not. No, it's
really. It's on this spot where Nick screamed. They did it!
Well, where you screamed that is not even there anymore.
Yes, it is. It's Chickies and Pete's. I was at.
Oh, I thought you were at it. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I started at McFadden's for game 5A and then went over to Chickies and Pete's for 5B.
Yep.
They did it!
And then you followed it up with. We have two versions. Actually, there's a shorter version.
They did it! They did it!
Yep.
So there you go.
Was your foot broken then, too?
Yeah. I was in, I'd just gotten out of the cast. I had ruptured my Achilles and tore a calf muscle dancing in a wedding.
How many pivotal moments in your life occurred while your foot was broken?
Well, I don't know. But that was a pivotal moment, and I was hoping that this year's injury would lead to a Phil success, and it didn't.
Broke your foot on purpose?
Yeah, to get Joe.
That is valiant.
I wanted to get Joe Girardi hired. But
by the way, the short they did it came first, right? And then
they did it!
I forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second one.
They did it!
I was really excited.
Oh. The overmodulation is what's perfect.
I love it, sure. Man.
They did it!
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Every bit of that audio is perfect because the crowd you're hearing is just a crowd in Chickies.
Yeah.
It's not at the stadium.
No.
that's at a bar.
Yeah, we were hanging out at a bar.
Yeah, sounds like a stadium.
Do you think Brad Lidge got hurt there?
He got piled on?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. We remember that the next day we did the math of how much weight must have been on him.
Yeah.
He was never the same pitcher after. You know, he was perfect that season. He didn't blow one save the whole season or in the postseason. He was perfect in the World Series, and he was never the same pitcher following that.
Right. We could have killed him.
Because he was three or four people on top of you.
Yeah. Do it while you're sitting on your knees, and he got bent backwards.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
One, I know, right?
Oh, wait. Two, three, four. Oh, you can't count. See,
it doesn't matter. 15.
And you're talking about hundreds and people jumping on top.
Yeah.
You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of pounds of weight on top of you. And if you're on there too long, you asphyxiate.
Yes. And then from nowhere, Preston, you look from the left, Rosie O'Donnell comes in from the right, and Ruben Studdard from the left.
No!
Yeah, that's just not right. Oh, and Louis Anderson comes running in.
And he was on his knees, so he's like bent backwards.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, they knock him forwards.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's okay. Geez. All right, anyway. They did it 11 years ago today. Pretty wild. All right, we need to take a break. I'm going to give away my last $50 gift card to Jersey Mike's. There are 1,630 Jersey locations nationwide and over 20 near us here in Philly. I'll take call number 20 then at 215-263-WMMR. And that's not counting all the ones along the Jersey Shore. So stop in one today. Jersey Mike stands for fresh. 20th caller. We're going to set you up. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap it up. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR rocks the 39th annual Delaware Valley Abate for the kids' motorcycle toy run Sunday, November 3rd. Bikes will line up along Columbus Boulevard at Spring Garden starting at 9 a.m. with your Grand Marshal, Jackie Bam Bam, leading the way. Parade starts at noon when thousands of bikers set off on a 10-mile route through Philly, ending at Sugar House Casino to deliver new unwrapped toys to the U.S. Marine Corps' Toys for Tots program. Complete ride details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Preston and Steve show. I got to point this out. So while we had Steve-O here earlier this morning, he did a bar trick for us off air.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. he tried to describe to us what he was doing. You put a glass or a cup on the top of your head, and then you have to drink it without ever touching it with your hands, never putting your hands above your head. And he does this contorted, bizarre move where he gets it into his mouth. Yeah, it's amazing.
Watch the video of his top 10 bar tricks.
Yeah.
Because he has stuff that's like that, that's just pretty amazing.
And he learned how to do that when he was doing the circus stuff.
Yeah,
when he was
yeah.
going to clown college and all that. Well, I'm sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it really shows off his athletic ability and his flexibility. I mean, it's not easy to do what he did if you don't have the flexibility to do that.
No. I'd hurt myself really bad trying to do that, probably.
But and he doesn't spill a drop.
No. It's pretty amazing.
It's on the on President Steve's Twitter account.
So thank you to Steve-O for being here this morning. He's such a nice guy.
He is, man.
And he's having fun right now. But the story he was talking about, the video that he did, and if you go to the show, it's only this Friday and Saturday shows are sold out. But if you go to the Thursday show, he manages to pleasure himself fully right before jumping out of an airplane to go skydiving.
And oh, is that it? I thought it was during the skydive itself.
No, I think right as he was about to.
Right as he's jumping out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he manages to be strapped on to another human being in a plane full of people, do that, and jump out of the plane, like, right as he's finishing off.
I get thrown off if the cat comes into the room.
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh, my God. He's
I don't know how you do that.
He's an interesting guy. He's really nice, too. So it was great having him by here. So you'll get to see that. Then we have Gavin Edwards to thank. Gavin wrote a book called Kindness and Wonder, Why Mr. Rogers Matters More Than Ever, and that is available now. And thank you to Jersey Mike.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And our goodies brought by this morning. Don't forget that you can go to jerseymikes.com, find a location near you. There are loads of them in our area, and in fact there's 1630 nationwide, 20 over 20 near us, and that doesn't even count the Jersey Shore. So thank you guys for feeding us and our listeners this morning. Pretty awesome. Pierre Robert is here. Was listening to Pierre on my day off yesterday.
Well,
it was almost like being here. How you doing, man?
I'm well.
That's nice. Happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Did you miss us?
Every second I'm not with you.
Yeah.
Is an eternity?
Is an eternity. But
the best line already so far
is Steve's, it's a who's who of who the hell are they?
Oh, yeah.
God. I mean,
Breaking Bender.
You guys are around it all the time. But, I mean, I pulled that slice out of the air and held it like a piece of pie, fresh from the oven. I go, where did he come up with that? I mean, it's simple enough that anyone could have come up with it. And yet, the brilliance of Steve, combined with the chemistry of Best, whatever your name is, and the other kids, I mean, you really make it swell.
You know, we were commenting on, and thank you, by the way, we were commenting on how many times still people will call Preston Steve and will call me Preston.
Constantly.
Yeah.
But, really?
All the time.
And we were talking about this
it's
the
totally
other day.
We just go with it.
I don't even correct them. I'm just nice to see you, or what, you know, it doesn't matter.
The name's
Barsky. I know what you mean. Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, this guy leaned out the window of this building I was parking in the other day and goes, DeBella! I am not kidding. And they call him Pierre.
Yep.
And me,
sure.
JDB.
And as long as they call you something.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I should just change my name to Presbo. I swear it's everywhere I go. I get that, and that's all your creation.
I'm not very creative, so I like that I created something.
It's Presbo's a good one, though. Yeah. I think that's a very benevolent sounding.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's very buddy sounding, you know?
It does.
Yeah.
And I also like the kayak reference to
Yaker.
Jackie and I went out to the Parks Casino on Sunday night for Sid Mark's 63rd anniversary of playing Sinatra.
Saw those pictures, they were great.
It was fun. And Michael Smirkanish was there, a radio host and TV host, and he did this nice thing for Sid. And this other gentleman was introducing people in the audience, and I could see where he was going. I said, "Jackie, come on." And he said, "What?" He said, "Just follow me." We went right backstage, and the guy said, "Well, what are you doing here?" I go, "We're supposed to go on stage." He goes, "Oh, okay." And we went right up on the stage, and the host was pointing out people in the audience and, "Wait, you know, this nice that they came and nice that they came." And then he pointed over where we had been sitting and goes, "It's so nice to have Pierre Robert and Jackie Bam Bam," at which point we just walked right out on the stage.
That was great.
And because the guy didn't really want us on the stage. And so we walked out, and Sid is sitting there telling Sinatra stories in this big chair with a wireless microphone. And I leaned over and kissed the ring and took his wireless microphone out of his hand and said, "Ladies and gentlemen." It was great fun.
Nice.
And the guy... There's a picture somewhere of Mike Baldini, the host, just glaring at us because he.
Oh, that's who he was. You interrupted, kind of. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so it was great fun.
That's great.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. Let's do the letter of the day. You ready?
Yo ho!
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now the daily letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
S, as in Sam.
All right, we have a $500 Steven Singer Jewelers gift card giveaway. Visit IHateStevenSinger.com. We will give that away on Friday. So only four letters. By the way, somebody texted in, my new full name should be Presbo Roast Beef Brodozer.
That's a good name.
I like that.
That's a manly name.
It really is.
Mm. What are you doing on your show today?
Well, I'm going to do workforce blocks today of the Allman Brothers. No, it's all right. I like snorts. And Godsmack and Coldplay and Double Shot Tuesday is also here. And it's the 11th anniversary of the World Series thing. That hurt my ears so badly. It's so overmodulated
and
so distorted, but so filled with joy.
Oh, yeah.
The joy.
They did it! Oh, God.
It's all joy.
It hurts really badly to hear it, but congratulations.
Nice.
All right.
All right, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve show brought to you today by Wilmington University. Experience the WilmU difference by visiting wilmu.edu. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And also Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve show. Tomorrow, we go live on Fox Good Day. It's something we do on Wednesdays. We'll do I would imagine we'll have a secret text word as well. That usually happens on Wednesday. And we'll see what else we can get together for you then. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map by two.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I just got a new job. You mother go to hell in Hatfield.
Next message.
Watching football. Howie Long is a good-looking guy.
Next message.
Hey, here's a couple great Halloween ideas. Get those butt plugs you use, put them in your mouth, and go as a...
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.